Well, welcome back. Everybody come grab your seat as quickly as you can so we can get started. And don't forget to silence those phones, please. And if everybody could turn around real quick and let's just give a warm welcome back to Latvia, UK, South Africa, Australia, and New Zealand. Welcome back, folks. Okay, so I want to put a quick reminder out there. Danny Johnson curriculums are available today. Some of you may be wondering what the heck that is. And that's all of the audios, the books, everything in the back. And it's at a 35% discount. So I highly recommend you make your way back there if you haven't got the curriculum and go and purchase it. Not only that, it comes with the famous Diane McCracken. Yes. She will be your GPS through that whole entire DJU. So I recommend picking it up, and then Diane McCracken's going to give you a call and you'll have a one-on-one with her. As a reminder, there is no audio, video recording. And if you have that special sticker that says Insider on your tag, that means you will have access to the MP3 recording. Okay, so I want to introduce myself. I am Erin Hudson from Huntington Beach, California. Thank you. And prior to coming to the Danny Johnson event, I landed myself in a seat right up front, and I will never forget that Diane McCracken I was talking about. I sat right next to her with my arms crossed and folded, wondering what the heck I was getting myself into. Without the smile, wearing the pretty grill on my face, I thought, what is this all about? And I kid you not, about 2 hours in, I began to just lose it. And if you ask Danny, she will tell you, I cried through the whole entire event. I walked in and I didn't even know my life was bad prior to getting there. Honestly, I really didn't. So all of a sudden she comes in, and by the time 2 hours in, I am bawling. I'm realizing that my life is a complete disaster from A to Z, going from the marriage to work. I ate work, I dreamt work, I slept with work. My life revolved around work. It was no wonder my marriage was in a downward spiral. So not only did the husband part go wrong, all of a sudden I had these children that were disrespectful. I was so addicted to work that I never even traveled. We didn't even go on camping trips, let alone leave California. So I remember walking up to Danny at the end of the first day, and I said, Danny, I'm giving you a year. And she probably looked at me like, you're a fool. Who are you? Why are you walking up to the stage to tell me that? Because I realized that my life was such a disaster and I needed accountability. And I just wanted to look her in the eye and tell her that I was going to give her a year. Let me tell you, folks, I gave it my first year and I went from my life being such a disaster, you guys. My children were so out of control. My marriage was so disgusting. I was getting ready to, could go into the direction of a divorce. I had so much debt, but I had such an ego attached to me that I was getting ready to buy a $1 million home with all this loads of $1 million in debt, okay? Well, fast forward, I plug in. My marriage has been restored. It's always a work in progress, friends. It's never going to be perfect, but it's far better than where it was. Let me assure you of that. My children are the most respectful, honoring children ever. And not only that, our first year after plugging in, we took our children to Belize, and we went and loved and fed the orphan, and we stayed with the orphan. We didn't do Christmas with our kids. We took the kids at the orphanage gifts, and our kids kicked against the wall. They were so mad at us, but yet they saw the transformation that a pair of socks and a pair of tennis shoes did to these little orphans that had absolutely nothing. Smiles on their face from ear to ear. It was enough that the next year we went to Belize, and guess what? We didn't do Christmas, but this time our kids didn't throw a fit. They realized how blessed they were to have all that they have. And so it starts with us, folks, each one of you, with your children, to set a new standard. It's not about inundating them with the hottest, the best, newest thing. It's about teaching them how to love and honor those that have less than we have. So with that being said, we came to our first event. We hit 7 figures in our business. We have 27 team members. And all of a sudden when my staff goes, why do you keep plugging in, Dr. Hudson? I said, life is good, but guess what? It can be better. We're all destined to have the best, right? So all of a sudden, things were good. And I was following and applying and learning new skill sets and delegating in my office so it could free me up down to 27 hours instead of that 60 plus hours. And guess what, friends? I was making more money working 27 hours than that 60 hours. It's a law we have. It gets even better. I continue to plug in. We're now here at year 4.5, okay? Last year when I thought life is wonderful, all of a sudden the Lord opens up more doors. We have another part-time job that's revenues have been seven figures, multiple seven figures, and another part-time business. And I owe it all to my mentor. If we can all stand to our feet, and let's welcome America's favorite millionaire, Danny Johnson.
Wow. Amazing. Give Aaron a hand. Incredible story. Paying off over $900,000 worth of debt in 20 months. 22 months? Was it 22 months? Over 900 and what? $985,000 worth of debt paid off in 22 months. Their business hitting their first $1 million mark as a chiropractor with two offices, and then hitting over $1 million in their part-time little passive income stream that they have because they've learned here at First Steps and Creating a Dynasty, like, A, how to make more money, which we're going to talk about this afternoon, and then B, how to keep it, which is tomorrow, and then at Creating a Dynasty, which is our advanced leadership conference, 3 solid days, about how to now take the money that you've learned how to keep instead of bleeding it out everywhere, which is what they were doing, trying to keep up with the Joneses, and now direct that cash towards income-producing assets, and that's, again, a second seven-figure, million-dollar business, $1 million worth of income on the side, on a part-time basis, managing all that. How many of you would like to duplicate those kind of results? At the same time of restoring a marriage and 4 children that were out of control to now, when a marriage gets restored, these other things start to happen. They have baby number 5 now. Yeah, so baby number 5. Okay, so let's talk about how to increase your value in the marketplace, something that 2% of the population knows how to do and do very, very, very well. Remember earlier I said that the market is continuously changing, right? There's opportunity today that might not be here next year, but there's opportunity next year that will be here that wasn't here this year. Do you understand? There's always opportunity that's out there. And 98% of the population are usually the ones complaining that there's no jobs, which always cracks me up. Because I work on the other side with the people who have jobs to offer people but can't find help. What a crazy thing, right? I work with company owners that say, man, it's just so hard to find talent. It's so hard to find people who are wanting to work. So hard to find good people to have to bring on board our team. And then again, on the other side, it's so hard to find good jobs. Right now, we personally have 4 job openings inside of my company. 4. Great jobs, awesome career opportunities for people, great benefits, 401k, the whole 9 yards. We're cherry picking through a whole lot of applicants to find the right kind of people that we want to work with. So I want to talk to you about that. I want to talk to you about you becoming more valuable in the marketplace so that you have more control over your income, so that you can grow your income if you choose to do that. Finding ways without working more hours, but instead working more strategically, working smart instead of hard, on how you can either grow the business that you already have. Maybe you want to start a business. Maybe you want to continue in the career path that you're on with the job, with the entrepreneur you're already working with, and be able to help that business become more valuable. So we're going to show you at least 4 different steps or strategies that you can use to be able to increase your value into the marketplace. Because again, what determines your value in the marketplace is not your good looks or your personality. It is your what? Skill. It's your skill set. So we're going to talk about 4 different ways to be able to increase your value. All right. So number 1, you want to learn how to solve people problems. You want to solve people problems. I didn't say solve people's problems. I want you to learn how to solve people problems. There's a big difference between the two. Okay, a big, big difference between the two. So how people make more money is based on, one of the ways, is whether or not they can solve problems that are within an organization. Okay, wherever there are people, there's always going to be problems, which means that marriage and family are always going to have problems to solve, and businesses are always going to have problems to solve. So number one, in solving problems with people, it's not about getting your chonies all caught up in a wad and getting offended. It is about being able to identify what the problem is, take the emotion out of the problem, and create a task list to actually finish or close up the problem or create an opportunity out of the problem, all right? Every problem has an opportunity for success. Every single problem. I don't care how big the problem is, there's always something good that can come out of what you may see to be a problem. If you're negative Nelly, all you see is the problem. But if you're in that 2% mindset, you're going to look for what the solution is. And he who brings the solution gets the money. So I'm going to write, I want you to write this down. The bigger the problems you solve for people, the bigger the paycheck. The bigger the problems you solve for people, the bigger the paycheck. So go to work on Tuesday after this event looking for problems to solve instead of trying to avoid them and instead of trying to run for them or trying to ignore them. Look for the problems to solve. Take the emotion out. Create the task list. Now, one at a time, hit the task list and get good at it. So when it comes to working with people, and again, every organization has people. Wherever there's people, there's going to be problems. So what a lot of people do when they're dealing with people is they try to avoid the people or they try to change the people. One of two strategies that people try to do with people. Both of those end in failure. One, avoid. Two, change them. You can't change people. But you can change, I said this earlier, what can you change concerning people? How you view them, how you deal with them, how you communicate with them. This yields a completely different result. We'll talk a little bit later about how to do that. Number two, be more dependable, consistent, and have initiative. These three things will matter. I'm watching business owners all over the room right going, oh my gosh, yes. If I could only find dependable, consistent people with initiative. These have high value in the marketplace. Now, every person that is looking to even buy something from a company is looking for dependable products and services. Yes. They're looking for consistency in the brand. And they're looking for the brand to go the extra mile than what they're first promising. Okay, so this is on both sides of the coin. Business owners, entrepreneurs are looking for dependable people, consistent people with initiative, but the customer is also looking for the same exact thing. So if you're the entrepreneur, is your brand dependable? Are you meeting the promises that you've made through your marketing? Are you delivering what you said you would deliver? Okay, only you can grade that actually better than ask your customers. This is what I love about today's world. I think that today is easier to do business than ever. And why? Man, the internet has changed so much. Reviews. What are reviews? Reviews are testimonials, but reviews show whether or not the product or the brand of the company is dependable, whether or not they have a good, consistent service or product, right? And whether or not they are bringing a wow value, a shock value, a under promise, over deliver value, because that's what people are looking for. Do you understand? And that's what reviews tell us. That's what we're all looking for. So what's a five-star review? Does the five-star review tell us, what does a five-star review tell us? It shows that we're dependable. They said that we would have X, Y, and Z, and I got it. Okay, what else? Now, do you get a five-star review just for that? No. You have to exceed expectations, and that's what I mean is the wow value. That's what I mean by under-promise, over-deliver, okay? So the ones that are getting a one-star are the ones who over-promised and under-delivered the value, okay? So the customer is looking for these three things. The customer is looking for dependable, consistent, and over and above what you promised me, and so is every employer on the planet. Every employer is looking for that with their employees. Every customer is looking for that with every purchase it is that they're making. Okay? So number three. By the way, how many of you employ other people? How many of you are looking for dependable, consistent people with initiative? There you go. So you want to increase your value. There's, you know, I don't know how many hands that were shown, but if you want to increase your, one way to increase your value, and by the way, let me see those hands again. That's what you're looking for. How many of you are willing to pay whatever it takes to get them? Look around the room. These are entrepreneurs. Who employs people? Raise your hands. You employ people. How many of you would pay more money for dependable, consistent people with initiative? There you go. I just showed you exactly how to get a raise. So here's the question you have to ask yourself. Where am I undependable? Where am I inconsistent? And where do I lack initiative? Now, for those of you that you're here, not because you're here for your profession, but you're here because you're a stay-at-home parent and you brought your children along with you because you want to groom the next generation for success. You want to teach your kids to have an entrepreneurial mindset, to become wealthy, to be financially independent, to not be filled with debt, to not be emotional basket case like you are, to be, joking. I was just seeing if you were awake. You wanted to groom your kids to not have the same problems you had and not bring the same issues into your marriage that you brought into your marriage. Okay, how many of you want your kids to do better than you? Yes. So that's why you brought your kids here, right? Is that you wish you had this kind of information starting off in life, so that's why your children are here. So anyway, I was talking about something really important, and then it flew right out of my head. Ask yourself where you're undependable. So let me break it down and make it plain. Whenever you hear me talking about a career, if you are a full-time parent and stay-at-home parent, guess what your full-time career is?
Parenting.
Okay, and your partnership is with who? Your spouse. I started in business first before I really became an active mom, all right, and before I became a spouse. Hans and I did everything backwards. We had a kid. We had a kid. Then we got married, like 2.5 years later, and then we started dating. And we've been dating for 21 years, but we've been making kids quite a bit longer. I do not recommend that path. It's totally backwards. I have some godchildren in the room, so I'm really keeping it clean right now. That's all it takes. All I have to do is have my godchildren in the room. I didn't keep it clean when my kids were in the room, but for some reason, actually, I'll keep it clean for my godchildren. Anyway, I don't recommend backwards. I recommend the right path works a little better. And the question you want to ask yourself, because at lunch you wrote a vision for your marriage, you wrote a vision for who you are as a parent, you wrote a vision for your health, you wrote a vision for your career, you wrote a vision for your finances. Where are you undependable? The place that you're undependable, inconsistent, and lack initiative is the places that you're failing. That's the places that you have the most amount of stress, and that's the places where you have the most amount of conflict. There's the places that you are neglecting. So, dependability has high value in the marketplace. It has high value in the home. There's promises that you made to one another. Are you keeping them? The same promises that you made on your job interview at your current place of labor. You made the commitment of, I'm always on time. I get along with everybody. I'm a team player. I'm highly productive. I'm great with managing my time. Have you fulfilled the promises that you made on your interview? We have two different people that we seem to be. One that we sell people that we are, and then there's the real one. So there's a gap in between, and that determines your value. The one that you actually do, not the one that you say you do. So when it comes to any position of place of conflict, I want you to write down three main places that have the most amount of stress in your life right now. What are the three categories that bring the most amount of stress in my life right now? There's a good chance that if you gauge those three on dependability, consistency, and initiative, you might find a little formula popping up right before your eyes right there. Of the three places that have the most contention and stress, you just found your formula on how to fix it. Number three, Find out what it takes to increase profits. That's at home and at work. So again, if you're here as a full-time parent or and wife or husband, if that's what your full-time job is, that's the same question for you. How can I increase profits? You see, every family is like a business. And so because I started my life totally backwards, where I had children before I got married and I started dating after I got married, the same person, by the way. I don't date other people. I still date Hans, which I just got to talk to him for the first time in 9 days. I feel much better. He was on a camp out with a bunch of guys, like 35 of them. And so they were in the mountains, no cell coverage. We haven't talked since the 30th of June.
It's been terrible.
Yeah, we have a few women here that their husbands are on the same camp out. So, ta-da, they made it off the mountain. Everyone's alive. There were 3 trips to the hospital, though, which is very interesting. 3 trips, and not a single one of them was my son, Cabe. Miracle. Absolute miracle. It wasn't Cabe, Roman, or Hans. None of them went to the hospital. A couple of your husbands did, though. One guy was single, so it's just 2 other husbands. Back to this. Okay, so find out what does it take to increase profits. Your household has the ability to make profits. Your household has the ability to make profits, okay? And a job or whatever the income is just cash flow into the house. But how do we retain those profits? How do we increase those profits? And if you start to see your household as a business, you'll run it very differently than how you're running it right now. You will present it very differently than how you're presenting it right now. Yep. Is there excellence and diligence in your household? Or is there laziness and procrastination and, neglect?
Really good.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You can say that again. Okay. So what is in your household? Is there excellence and diligence? Here's the bottom line. People are so funny. They think they can run their business and their finances complete opposite as they run their house. No, habits are habits. They follow you wherever it is that you go. A mindset that keeps your house trash is the same trashy mindset that builds a business. It's the same exact mindset. It's the same trashy mindset that tries to build wealth. So wherever, if you are neglectful and you're undependable and inconsistent, well then, friend, that's what you're going to end up with. There are results that produce that, more of that. Okay, so find out what it takes to increase profits. Let me show you a few ways of things to do to increase profits, all right? Let's dissect this. And again, this is all about increasing your value into the marketplace. So number one, bring in new business. New referrals. Bring in new business, new referrals. That's one way to increase profits. Now you're like, but wait a second. Why do I want to bring in business? Why do I want to bring in referrals? Listen, I'm telling you exactly how to increase your value in the marketplace. It doesn't matter if you're the business owner or if you're the employee or you're the spouse of the business owner or the spouse of the employee. Every single person has the ability to increase the overall profits of an organization. And so if you focus on that, whether you're the wife of the guy who works for an entrepreneur, you're the entrepreneur yourself, or you're the guy that works for the entrepreneur, if you want to increase your value, no matter which position title is you have, wife, husband, employee, entrepreneur, doesn't matter what your title is, one way to increase your value in the marketplace is for you to focus on increasing the profits of the business by bringing in new business and referrals.
Yes.
But that's not my job. That's why you're broke. I said when I started this whole thing, 98% are saying there's no opportunity out there. 2% are see opportunity in a pile of crap.
Yes.
So there is opportunity for you. Well, that's my husband's job or that's my wife's job. No. You're missing it, fool. There's opportunity for you to increase the profits of the business that is currently paying your mortgage. Now, if you go to work on Tuesday to increase the profits of your husband or your wife's job, your focus is, okay, how can I help them bring in more business? How can I send them more referrals? If you have that mindset, you're what we would call an employeepreneur, or you're the beginning of an entrepreneur. Start to think like an entrepreneur. An entrepreneur is always looking for a way to increase profits. Entrepreneur is always looking for ways and strategies to grow the bottom line. So if you begin to think like one, you automatically increase your value to those who are building those things. Forget about it. So one is bring in new business, new referrals. Well, I hate my job. That's your problem. You hate your job. Guess what? Your boss knows you hate your job, and they're looking for the first opportunity to fire your... Your boss is the one that's supposed to give you raises, right? How in the world are you going to get a raise if you hate your boss? How in the world are you, your job is where you want to get the raise, but if you hate your job, how could something you hate give you something more? Isn't that crazy? But 98%ers walk around all day. I hate Mondays. I can't wait till Friday. I hate my boss and I hate my job. Fool. And you expect to get a raise. What does the word raise mean? To bring up, to elevate, to grow, right? That's what it means. You cannot get a raise with hate. You will only get fired. You will reap what you sow. And if your attitude is that you hate your boss or you hate your job or you hate your career, it is never going to give you more by hating it, because you reap what you sow. You'll end up without it. Now, look at this. 98%ers walk around saying, I hate my job all the time. And some of you don't hate your job, but you just say that to sound like everyone else. Not even realizing who the heck you sound like. Do they even have what you want? You hear people complaining about their boss, so you decide to jump in the ring and complain about your boss, even though you might not have nothing to complain about. But you've allowed the mindsets of the program mediocre 98 average percenters who hate their life, and you're just acting just like them just to fit in. Are you sure you want to fit in with them? This does not make you more money. So bring in referrals. We'll talk about that more in a minute. Number two, a second way to increase profits. It's very simple. There's only a few ways to increase profits. Two is to learn how to cut costs. Where there is time and money that is being wasted, cut wasted time, wasted money. That's another way to increase profits. Number three, learn how to retain your current business, to retain more of your business. There's always going to be, attrition. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. There's always going to be attrition. There's always going to be a loss of business, okay? But how do you retain more of your business? How do you keep your clients or customers or staff engaged? How do I keep them more engaged so we keep them around longer? Okay. And then last and final, in my opinion, just from a quick list that I wrote down, is how do I bring in better talent than what is already here? These are four things that increase profits to a business. Okay. Four things that increase profits. So one, learn how to bring in new business and referrals. Two, learn how to cut costs, wasted time and money. Three, how to retain more of the business to keep people engaged. And number four, how do I bring in better talent than what is already here? Okay? Those are pretty much the standard ways that if you want to increase your business, if you want to increase your profits, these are pretty much the four different places that you look to, four different areas that you can help grow. Now, how many of you would like to know how to grow those four areas? All right, let's talk about that in 45 minutes. All right, so let's talk about bringing in new business and referrals. Number one, okay, so again, I want to break it down to the simplest thing. Even children, it blows my mind. I travel all over the world and sit on airplanes quite a bit, and I sit next to whoever I'm going to sit next to, and I talk to them. And, you know, oftentimes I'll sit next to someone that's like 19, 20 years old, and I ask them, what do your parents do? And they go, They have no idea what their parents do for a living. They have no idea what their parents have done 8 hours a day to put food on the table, to put shelter over their heads, clothes on their bodies, and to pay for this college education that they're being sent to. They have no idea. What do they do? I think my dad's, this is just the other day, in manufacturing. Who does he work for? Number one, that's a missed opportunity that the parents missed. The parents missed the opportunity to teach their child about work. They missed the opportunity to teach their child the right attitude about work, the right attitude about the boss, and the right attitude about how to contribute as a citizen to the overall help of that business staying in business. Every human is a walking billboard,
yes.
No matter how old they are. If they can walk a straight line, they can be a walking billboard. Okay? Every human is a walking billboard to promote something. Okay? And we are all promoting something. We all promote things that we like. If we like video games, we talk about video games. If we like red roses, we talk about red roses. If we like clean water and, you know, by certain brands, we talk about that. We talk about the stores that we like, the food that we like, the movies that we like. People talk about what they like. They just freely promote things. They talk about the God they like, whichever God it is, her, him, whatever the name is. They like to talk about what they like. So therefore, every human has the potential to be a walking infomercial billboard for some kind of product or some kind of service. And we do. We all sell products and services all the time. We all sell against or for certain kinds of businesses all the time. It comes out natural out of us. So when it comes to a business, and meaning your children have the opportunity to help keep the business you're working for in business, they can, based on what they say about it. And what do your parents do? They work for such and such, and this is what they do. Right? Teach your kids how to say what it is that you do. They can help you get customers. Teach them how to promote while they're young, therefore that when they're older, they'll know how to do it naturally. Yes. Instead of, I'm afraid to talk to people, like you, many of you are. Okay, so bring in new customers, new referrals. All right, number one, you have to know who are you looking for? Who is the business looking for? Who is the ideal customer, right, Chris? Who's that ideal customer that you're looking for? If you don't know the ideal customer that the business needs or is looking for, then what ends up happening is that you just do a big, giant blanket crapshoot, big cast a big, giant net, and hope you get something. Well, something is better than nothing, but it's not your ideal customer that is the perfect fit for what you do. So you need to identify who that is. Who are you looking for? Let's turn back the hands of time to back when I was homeless, okay? I actually was 50 pounds overweight, and I'm homeless. I've got $2.03 to my name. I started a business with no money, no brochures, no receipts, no business cards, and absolutely no credibility. My credibility was just bad, okay? I was a homeless chick who bounced checks all over the town, and I slept with half the town, at least the men. Anyway, it was bad. I was just a bad, 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 bad hoe who was broke. The hoe that was poe. Okay, I was a po-ho. Can you say that with me? Po-ho. This is a po-ho. Okay, so I was a po-ho. So I was a po-ho. Anyway, so in the beginning, okay, so before my husband left Japan with and found another woman that he decided to move in with while he was there, when he was supposed to be on a business trip trying to establish us, we were both going to move to Japan. He decided to go. He went in advance to get us an apartment, get his job worked out. While he was there, he met somebody else and decided that he didn't want to be married to me anymore. It was so nice of him. Anyway, it really was. Not at the time, but thank God today. I wouldn't have what I have today if he hadn't done what he did. By the way, I barely graduated from high school, in case you haven't figured that out. Based on my bad grammar, there's going to be a lot like po-ho. That's not proper grammar. So I have no money, but the month before he left, I had gained 25 pounds right after we got married, right? And so now I'm needing to lose some weight. So I answer this ad. I come across this ad that says, wanted 100 people, will pay you to lose weight. And I'm like, I don't care if you pay me, but I need to lose weight. So I answer this ad. I get a hold of this product. It cost me $125. I tried it for 3 days. It made my belly bloat bigger than it already was. It gave me tons of bad gas. The thing tasted like chalk. I hated this thing. So I stopped using it. So for 3 days, I used it. Then I said, this didn't work for me. I don't like this stuff. I spent my $125 and I lost the $125 because I didn't use the product at all. So then it's a month later, I was gaining a pound a day. So now I'm 50 pounds overweight instead of just 25 pounds overweight. And I'm driving my car, and I'm like, I got to find something to do to make money. I don't want to be homeless. I don't want to stay homeless for very long. I got a job as a cocktail waitress. That it was going to take me 4 months to get enough money to get an apartment for myself. So I knew I needed to find a way to make extra money on the side after my 12-hour shift as a cocktail waitress. So I'm driving in my car and my home. And this product that I bought the month before is all faded out. It's in my back seat as well as everything else that I owned. is sitting there, and I'm looking in the rearview mirror, and I'm sitting there asking myself, okay, what can I do? I got to find a way to make money. And I just happen to look at the rearview mirror, and I feel like this box is talking to me. Hi! Hi! Hey! I'm your answer. And I'm like, hell no. I ain't selling no weight loss product. First of all, I'm fat. Second of all, this stuff gave me gas. Third of all, everything tasted bad. I am not going to talk to people. I ain't no peddling no pills and shakes and stuff like that. I am a homeless woman. And I am too good. My ego is so freaking big. I am such a loser. My ego is so big that I am above selling a weight loss program. A multi-billion dollar successful weight loss program. It's a $2 billion company that sold that weight loss program, and I'm way above that as a homeless fat chick. Ho-po-po-ho. The po-ho fat chick is too good to represent a $2 billion weight loss program that helped hundreds of thousands of people lose weight, right? Yeah, ego versus bank account. Big ego, itty-bitty living space. Living in my car. Little tiny bank account, big ego. That was my car. That was my home for a while. Yep, that was it. There it is, my Hyundai. That was a pretty snazzy car. Not when they first came out. They're nice now. Anyway, all right. So I lived in that thing. And so right away, I decide I'm going to try to market this thing. I handwrite a flyer, okay? Who am I looking for? Am I looking for skinny people? Uh-uh. Who's my ideal customer? Who's my ideal customer? Pohos. Okay. Do you understand what I mean by ideal customer? I'm not going to write an ad or an advertisement. I'm not going to talk to skinny people, right? I'm looking for people who need to lose weight, right? So that way, my ideal customer was someone that failed in other programs before, someone that needed to lose weight, somebody that didn't feel good about themselves. Do you understand that my ideal customer was somebody who was frustrated but ready for change? That was my ideal customer. Who is your ideal customer? Who are you specifically looking for? Not only for that. No, because we're talking about business and referrals, so I'm going to keep it clean right there. All right, so you have to figure out who it is that you're looking for. Who's the ideal person to buy your product or your service, or to buy your husband's or wife's product and service that they are marketing? Do you understand? This is how you create higher value in the marketplace, and the marketplace is at home and at work. Okay, number two, where are they? Where is your ideal customer? Now, to break it down again, make it really plain, I lived in a town of 5,000 in Waikoloa, Hawaii, okay? Everybody had to get their mail from the post office. They didn't have mail carriers that delivered the mail to the houses. So everybody in the entire community, all 5,000 people, had to come to the post office to pick up their mail. So when I say, where are they? Well, my community was coming to the post office at least once a week to get their mail, correct? So the question I have for you is, where are your customers? Where are your potential customers? Where are they? Where do they do business? Where do they shop? Where do they go to church? Where do they do their grocery shopping? Okay? The more specific you get in figuring out who your ideal customer is, the easier it is to find them. Where it is, oh no, I just need people. No, you don't just want every person to be your customer, I promise you. You wind up with every wimp and whiner, cheese ball, inconsistent, undependable, with no initiative, who, guess what? Doesn't want to do any work. They still want to eat their three bags of Cheetos in one setting and still lose weight. Do you understand? So I identified, I need people who are committed. I need people who are dead serious about this. I need people who are willing to do whatever it takes for as long as it takes to be able to hit their goal. That's not just a person. Do you understand? So if you get specific on who you're looking for, you will specifically find what it is that you're looking for. If you do not establish who it is that you're looking for, then you will not find it. And you'll end up with a lot of hassle and a lot of headache. So for example, when I started in my radio and TV career, I had hired a radio coach. It cost me $24,000 for weeks of, it was $1,000 a session, $1,000 an hour, basically, to hire someone to teach me radio and television. And this was back in 2009. The first thing that he had me do is he had me make a list of who my one listener was. Well, we had thousands of listeners, right? Today we have millions. But we had, pick one person. Is it a male? Is it a female? What's their, give it a name, create an avatar, if you will. And so he gave, had me come up with 50 things that represented this ideal listener that I was talking to. And so I literally picked the kind of clothes that she wore, and it was a, her, because my first show happened to be on a woman's radio network. So anyway, but I talked about who she was married to and who her boss was and all of that stuff. So I made a list. So then whenever, every time I did a show, I was talking to this one person versus talking to a group of people. By the way, that's one massive tip for those of you who speak or you do conference calls. Even if you leave your voicemail, hey guys, you don't have 10 people calling you at once, fool. No, it's one person that is calling your voicemail. Okay, if you're on a conference call, you're talking to one person. If you, hi everybody, how are you? You make everyone feel like they're just a number and they don't connect to you. So it's important that when you're talking to a group that you're still just talking to one. Just talking to one person. So it's talking to you versus all y'all. Everyone. Quit making yourself out to be more popular than you are. Anyway, same with on Facebook. Not, hi Facebook. Listen, not all 1 billion are looking at your post. Talking to one person, first person to another first person, okay? So where are they? So once you decide, once you figure out who it is that you're looking for, now you ask the question, where are they? Do they go to church or do they not? Okay, if they do, what kind of a church do they go to? Now you can target that kind of a church to find these kind of people that you're looking for. Do you understand? Are they volunteering anywhere? What kind of place do they volunteer? Now you tap into those volunteering type places to find those kind of customers that you're looking for. The school, like they're married, do they have children? What age, what school do they go to? Again, you're deciding who the ideal customer is that you're looking for. Sometimes you can look at your current customer base and dissect it from there of who they currently are and also who they know. So schools, like where do their kids go to school? Again, now you can target, advertise in that direction and maybe go and put yourself in those places so you can meet people like that. Okay, next is who else do they do business with? They don't only just do, they're not only going to do business just with you. They might only buy vitamins for you, or they might only buy cleaning supplies from you, or they might only buy, I don't know, whatever it is that you sell, boxes from you, for that matter, or security services from you. Whatever it is that they purchase, they also purchase other things from other suppliers or from other people. So who else is their, who else are they also doing business with? Or if you're a business to business, who else, who, what other vendors do they use? And how can you put yourself in touch with those other vendors so that you can meet the right kind of customer that you're looking for? Okay. Next is build a list of resources. Okay. And again, this is increasing your value in the marketplace. How do you bring in new business and referrals? All right. So what you need in order to bring in new business and referrals are people. You need more people. So what I'm trying to do is kind of open your mind of all the different places of where you can meet people. So one is with your personal list of resources, right? You all know 2,000 people by the time you're 20 years old. Every human here knows 2,000 people by the time you're 20. Who here is 20 years old or older? Who's 40 or older? Who's 60 and over? Y'all know a lot of people. You've been in contact with a lot of people. So your own personal list of resources is every person that you can remember that you've ever met, that you've ever had their contact information for, every person that you've ever done business with, worked for, and someone that you've hired in the past that is no longer with you. You know, it's real estate agents, it's the plumbers, it's the electrician that comes and fixes your pool pump thing that broke last week, like what happened to me. It's your It's your the guy that you buy groceries from or the gal that delivers your mail. Do you understand? You all have a long list of resources of people that you've been in contact with. This is what we'd call your warm market, okay? That personal list of resources, every time we've ever started a business, and we've started many, we always start with our own personal list of resources. For what? Yes, for possible customers, but also to recruit from. To either recruit directly from, meaning those people might want to join us in our new business venture, whether we're, you know, in the cattle business or we're in the software business, as we've been in both of those businesses, real estate business, or information business, or whatever, nutrition business. We've been in lots of different businesses. So the list of resources. Maybe it's to recruit help. It's to recruit employees or to recruit connections. I'll talk about that in a minute. Facebook is another great resource where you have lots of extra friends that really aren't your friends, just people that wanted to be your friends because they saw that you were a friend of another friend. Do you understand? So Facebook is another list of resources. Any kind of social media, Instagram, Twitter, all of that stuff. Those are all places to build relationship. And then community outreach, whatever community outreach it is that you're involved with, if getting involved in your community, whether it's Awanus or it's the Lions Club, the Chamber of Commerce, BNI, right? These are all community type, these are all community driven organizations that you can tap yourself into to find people. And lastly, advertising. Advertising and social media, radio, TV, direct mail, flyers, all of that. So those are all different ways and places to find people to help grow the profits and to increase your value. Now, next is how can you do those things and do them effectively? Like, what should you say to those people? How do you actually recruit that business to come to you? I'll get to that in a second. Number two, costs, cutting time, right? Let's go over that really quick. Okay, so for example, when I started, after being homeless and I started that weight loss business, initially I started delivering, so I had a script that I had written, and from that script, I also told stories. I stuck to the script. I read the script. It took me about 10 minutes to read the script, and I was making a lot of money just reading the script, and I used a flyer. I put a flyer up at the post office. Why? Because all 5,000 people had to get their mail there. Right? So that was like a centrally located place. Did I do it because I knew that was smart? Nope. I just put a flyer up. When I looked back, I was like, that was pretty smart. I was like, I don't have any money to run an ad. And every time I went to the post office, I saw what the bulletin board had, and I saw all the different things that people had there. So I thought, I wonder what happened if I put a flyer here. I hand wrote the flyer. There was no graphics. It wasn't pretty. It was my disgusting handwriting. Okay, and it was one of those flyers that you cut the tabs. Someone pulls the tab. Do you understand? So this wasn't great marketing genius at all. In fact, I was such a bad marketer that all I did was I used the same exact ad that got me. I figured if I called that ad, then perhaps maybe somebody else might call that ad. So I literally copied somebody else's success, their successful advertisement. How did I know it was successful? Because I responded. So if I responded, chances are somebody else has responded. So I handwrote the flyer of what the ad said. I had these pull tabs. When I came to the place where I had to put a phone number, I didn't have a phone number. It was going to say, meet me at the fourth coconut tree around the corner. You know, I had no phone. I had no cell phone. I didn't have a phone. I didn't have a home. I didn't have an address. I didn't have anything. Right? So as soon as I get to the place where I'm supposed to put a phone number, I realize I don't have a phone number. And the 98%er that I was would have been, let's say, it's not going to work. I can't do it. But instead, I'm like, I need to eat, number one. Number two, I'm done being homeless. And once you make a decision, you find a solution. Yes. When you make a decision that you're not going to return to broke again, you find solutions and you make it happen. And that's exactly what happened. So here I'm hitting my head. I hit this place if I don't have a phone. So right away, I pull up the Yellow Pages. I had some quarters because I'm a cocktail waitress. People always leave you change. Anyway, so thank God I got left change the night before because I started plopping quarters in. I call a telecommunications company. I call the guy, I call it, A guy answers the phone, and I use some skills that I had learned the year before that I will teach you this afternoon. I use these simple little skills to control the conversation and to make a friend on the other end of the line. I treated him as though he was a long-lost friend, and he answers the phone. He says, whatever, telecom, blah, blah. And I said, hey, how's it going? He's like, good. How are you? I said, I'm good. Hey, gosh, you're in Kona, right? Yeah. Like, how long have you been in Kona? And I just started getting him to talk about his business, talk about himself for about 15 minutes. And then that thing on the quarters were running out on the phone. You know what I'm saying? You plop it in, it goes, bloop, bloop. You know, it tells you that you better put more money in. How many of you have never used a payphone? I know, they're extinct. They're like dinosaurs. I get it. Anyway, so He towards the end of the conversation says, Danny, I feel like I've known you my whole life. What were you calling for? I said, oh, I was actually calling to find out about your voicemail system. He says, where are you calling from? I said, Waikoloa. He says, listen, honey, why don't you just drop a check in the mail? In fact, I'm going to waive the service fee. Just write me a check for $15. You have a pen and paper handy? I can give you your phone number right now. You can access your voicemail as soon as you hang up with me. Yes. 808-326-4252. That was the phone number. Gives me the phone number. I hang up the phone. I put it on the flyer. I take the flyer to the post office. I post it. I grab somebody else's tech. Whoops. I didn't have a tack. Anyway. So you have to have some initiative. Find another tech that isn't being used as appropriately as yours is. Anyway, so I put the tech. It was from a faded ad. You couldn't even read what it said anyway. Somebody that forgot they even had something there. So I put the tech there. I leave back to the beach where I was living. And in 3.5 hours, I go up to the top of the hill at the little whatever's where the post office is. I call, not the post office, but where the payphone was. I call the voicemail. And it says, your voicemail is full. I'm like, crap! I got 25 phone calls in 3.5 hours. Yep. Not rocket science. Not a great marketer. When you make a decision, solutions follow. It's that simple. Solutions follow. So 3.5 hours, I get 25 phone calls, and I begin to call the first person. And because I am completely unprepared, I do not have a script, I botched the very first phone call up. But let's fast forward from there. I end up with 40 customers in 10 hours, okay? So out of 25 phone calls, the first one said, how much is it? I answered him like an idiot. It's $125. Thanks, that's too much. Bye. Click. So then I figure out I better come up with a different way to present this. And I did. I'll talk to you about that later. And then I ended up with 24 out of 24 people saying, yes, I want it, and I want it now. Okay? Now, I had a new problem. I got 40 customers in 4 days, a total of 10 hours after my 12-hour shift as a cocktail waitress. So now I have a problem. That's 40 deliveries, right? That could take a lot of time, right? So I'm talking about cutting costs, cutting time. So what I eventually figured out in that next 30 days after I delivered my first 40 weight loss programs to 40 individual people, I figured out this is taking too much time, and time is money. So then I started to deliver 10 at a time, meaning I came to a location, invited 10 people, set 10 appointments all at the same time, and delivered 10 all at the same time, rather than it taking time to drive to 10 different places. They came to me, in fact, to Long's Drugstore. I didn't have an office. I didn't have a home. I had a bunch of deliveries in Kona, which was 45 minutes away. I picked the Long's Drugstore. I said, hey, listen, I'm going to be at Long's Drugstore at 3 o'clock. You meet me there, and we'll get you set up. I said that 10 different times. 10 different people showed up, delivered all this stuff all at once. So that was cutting time, which is saving money. Does that make sense? It's more efficiency. So I tell you that just to say, it's not that difficult to find ways to cut time and to save money. So when I say cut costs is another way to make more profits, look for something as stupid as that. How can you get something done rather than in 10 steps, doing it in 5? Once you get it down to 5 steps, can it be done in 4? Do you understand? Find more efficient ways to shrink down a process, but still yield the same result. What that results in is being able to give you more time to go after more new business versus it taking so much time to have the existing business, all right? So number 3 is retaining business, okay? Retaining business. Is this helping anybody?
Yes.
Okay. So retaining business. So you got to have some follow-up strategies, okay? Follow-up strategies are really impressive. Engagement strategies that once you get a customer and or you recruit a distributor and or you hire an employee, what's important is that you have some kind of process that engages them and brings them to a place of kind of ownership in what it is that they've engaged with you on. So if it's a product, How do we get them to consume it, right? Consumption is so important. Even if the product is information, how do we get them to consume that information, partake in it, take ownership of it, so that they're actually getting the results from it? Meaning, I have an entire library of content to teach you sales and marketing and business and finance and communication skills, all that stuff. But if you don't consume it, meaning you don't take ownership of it and you don't apply it, there's going to be no change in your life. Do you understand? It's the same as if you're selling a travel service. You can sell a travel service, but if that travel service never gets consumed, the person never uses the vouchers for the cruise, or they never use the vouchers for the discount on the plane tickets, will they ever, if they don't engage with it, they don't start consuming it, then they don't become one that's going to repeat business or even send you referrals. So consumption is really important, but a 98%er, all they really care about is that initial sale. No. That can't be what you just care about. You want to figure out how to engage that same person into other multiple repeat sales along the way. So how do you get more repeat sales? It's all through relationship. If you lead with relationship first, business will follow. But the 98%ers do the exact opposite. What they often are looking for is business first, and they could care less about the relationship. So it's through relationship that retention is going to happen. There's multiple different strategies that I have in that. And let me just show you that what we do actually works. How many of you, the very first time you've ever heard the name or saw the face, heard about Danny Johnson, was through a personal referral? Raise your hands. Can you all look around the room? Look around the room. That is the vast majority of the people, 90 plus, 95%, maybe even 98% of this entire room has been filled through a personal referral. Not through some sexy marketing, not through the television. Let me prove it to you. Okay? It has been often said that if you ever could get on the Oprah Winfrey Show, which, by the way, people pay, well, back when she was doing her show actively, $8,000 for a 10-minute interview on her show. I didn't pay a dime to be on the Oprah Winfrey Show. Oprah Winfrey called me. I didn't call her. I didn't have somebody else call her. Oprah Winfrey called us, okay? So, question. Have you ever heard, or did you not know, that if you could end up on the Oprah Winfrey Show, man, you're set for life. You'd be known by everybody. You'll get so much business. You get so much business. Let me prove to you how much business there was that came from Oprah Winfrey. You ready? How many of you, the very first time you ever heard the name or saw the face of Danny Johnson was because you saw me on the Oprah Winfrey Show? 1. Right back there. 1. 1 out of 1,000 that's here. But how many of you was through a personal referral? Ding. Okay. What about Secret Millionaire? You saw me. The very first time you ever got exposed to me was on Secret Millionaire. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 out of 1,000. Benny Hinn. 1, 2. Benny Hinn is twice as more powerful than Oprah. Comb over and all. Fox and Friends. Goose Egg. Been on that show multiple times. ABC, NBC, CNBC. Goose Egg. Success Magazine, Entrepreneur Magazine, Forbes went all over the world, translated in multiple different languages. Goose egg. Newspaper? Been in lots of newspapers. Probably 30 of them. You know, like the Wall Street Journal. Goose egg. Nobody found me from the Wall Street Journal. What about the Wall Street Journal television show? There's one? Yeah, sure is. Nothing. Any radio show, any. Been on huge radio shows. One. Well, there you have it.
So if no one ever comes, why do you spend the time to do all that?
That's a personal conversation between you and me. He says, if you don't have anyone here from those things, why do you do those? It's a great question. I do have an answer. It's all exposure. It's all exposure. Because here's what happens with the one. The one tells some. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, but it's the one that comes through that channel that brings personal referrals. Yes, it's worthwhile. Sometimes, not always. Not always. Okay, so that goes to show you that personal referrals can drive a business. So learning the art of retaining business and creating an experience for your customers, your clients, your employees, these things create referrals. These things cause people to stick with your brand, to stick with your business, and to bring more to you. Okay? So retaining business, engaging your customers is, by the way, it's part of engagement too, Chris. That's a whole nother thing. It's part of engagement. Exactly. That's the point. It's engagement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's engagement. She said that, forget it. Anyway, yes, I agree with you. That was another reason. All right, so where am I? All right, so how can you get your customers to consume more of what you have? All right, so recently I was in Pennsylvania, and I was sitting next to a gorgeous, gorgeous, beautiful young woman and her husband, who is equally as gorgeous with a giant beard. And they own two restaurants. And they have one restaurant that's a family restaurant that's been very successful for decades, and then they have this new restaurant. They're trying a new thing, a new flavor in town in this little tiny place in Pennsylvania, and they're kind of, you know, struggling right now to try to, you know, they're kind of deciding whether or not, is this going to work or is it not? So I asked her a question. I said, so how are you going about getting new business, number one, and number two, what are you doing that is causing your clients to talk about you and bring more people through your restaurant doors? And this was her answer. That was the answer. Have you ever had an answer like that? She had no answer. She's like, well... And then she came back to it like 5 minutes later. She goes, well, actually, what we're doing is we're hoping that the food is enough to make them come back. And we're hoping that the fact that our restaurant's very different looking and that we have, you know, a different kind of style, we're hoping that that kind of is enough to bring them back. And I said, well, is it? She's like, I guess not. If you were to bring to the bank a business plan in order for you to get a loan, and across the top of the page was hope, I'm pretty sure they're not going to give you $100,000. Because if hope is your plan, it's probably not going to work. There has to be a very strategic, very specific plan that has to be executed in order for success to come. But most people don't know what to do or what they should do. But here's the question I have for you. What is it that you're doing that's causing people to talk about you in a good way to their friends and family members so that you can grow your business or your career? So what is it that you're doing that is good, that is causing people to talk about what it is that you have. You see, if every person you run into knows 2,000 people that you do not know, how can you get to those 2,000 people? You have to find a way to bridge that gap between the one that you already got and how do I get to who they know. So we just showed you, here's 1,000 people in the room, and, you know, 990 plus of them have come through a personal referral. There must be something that we're doing that is causing other people to talk about what it is that we do. Do you understand? So if you own a restaurant, what are you doing to that customer who came and spent money to buy your cheeseburger? What are you doing with them to create such an experience that causes them to tell other people about you? It's like I said, business today is so simple. Social media is like billboards and free advertising everywhere. Because people will talk about on social media where they just came from and whether or not the service sucked or whether or not the service was good. And when people find something that's good, they are compelled to get on social media to do what? To tell people about it, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, those being the top and the biggest and the largest centers of influence for social media, even YouTube, right? So you have to ask yourself, what am I doing every day that causes people to say good things about what I do? So that goes to the same in the home. What are you doing that are causing your spouse to talk highly of you when he's in the marketplace or she's in the marketplace? What are you doing to cause your boss to speak highly about you in his meetings with upper management? Or are you on the short list of, I am documenting how to fire this person? Or are you completely ignored because there's nothing you're doing that's causing them to talk about you? So the question you need to ask yourself is, what can I do better or different that will cause my customers or my boss or my spouse to speak higher of me so that I'm actually in front of them, so I'm actually on the forefront of their mind? How can I stand out of the crowd of everybody else that's talking to them? How can I make sure that I'm standing out above the rest? Okay. So just, I want to see a show of hands. How many of you would say that you're probably not doing enough to get talked about, even to your boss? How many of you attempt to go unnoticed? You'll never get a raise going unnoticed. It's only the people that stand out and do over and above what other people are doing are the ones that actually get promoted. And so some of you in the 98%, you've been conditioned to think that's called brown nosing. No, it's not. It's called wise and building wealth. That's not no brown nosing. That's setting yourself apart from everybody else. So the key is how do I get people to talk about me? How do I get people to talk about what it is that I'm doing? Okay, well, let's go there. Well, wait, let me finish on this retention thing. If your customers are not talking about the product they just purchased from you or the service they just purchased from you, you're going to be out of business real quick. You're going to be out of business quick. So you really have to learn how to engage referrals and to get people to want to do business with you again and again and again. And the best way to do that is to create such an experience where they can't help themselves. They have to talk about you, all right? And I'll give you some keys of that when we come back from a break here in a minute. So one of the keys is building relationship that is two ways, not just one way. See, a lot of amateurs in business are always looking to gain from another person. But the real professionals are always looking to give in a situation. Okay? So the amateurs want to get, how can I get a referral from my customer? Instead of, what does my customer do for a living and how can I create an environment of them winning and out of their win, I get to win. Does that make sense? Let's go back to the restaurant. How many of you have eaten in a restaurant before? I just want to make sure you're awake. How many of you have ever eaten in a restaurant before? Okay. How many of you ate in a restaurant today? Okay, now I want you to imagine the last restaurant experience that you had. Could you imagine if you had a restaurant experience where the server actually took the time to find out what your name was? If not only did they turn out to find out what your name was, but they chose to find out what you do for a living. What you do in your work life, whether you're a business owner or not, but what it is that you do. And wow, what kind of customers does your business actually look for? Because I might know some people. We have all kinds of people that come in this restaurant every single day. So maybe if you tell me a little bit about what you do, I might be able to send you over to Sally right over there. You said that you need customers for hair. She definitely needs a haircut. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's harsh, but I'm just making fun of what I'm saying. Do you understand? So, could you imagine if you came to a restaurant to eat a cheeseburger and somebody actually took note to who you were, how many kids you had, what you're interested in, what your hobbies are, what you do for a living, and what you need help with, and they actually said, you know what? Let me connect you with Joe. Joe actually does that specifically, and he's amazing. I think you'll really enjoy working with him. In fact, I have his card, or I have his phone number. Write this down. Let me get your phone number. I will call him and let him know that you'll be calling him. How do you feel about the cheeseburger?
Amazing.
Is it just a cheeseburger anymore? How do you feel about that restaurant? Are you going to go back? You're going to go back. Are you compelled because of the cheese on the burger? What are you compelled by to go back? The service that you had that was custom made specifically for you. And because of this, the bigger the problems you solve, the bigger the paycheck. The bigger the problems you solve, the bigger the paycheck. So if you help someone solve a problem that they have, especially in a place where they weren't expecting to have that problem solved for them, right? You solve that problem, they can't help themselves but to talk about you and what you do. Relationship first, business follows. But see, the amateur waitress or waiter goes up to you and says, what do you want to drink? Okay, but watch. What do you want to drink? What do you want to eat? He thinks he's filling a need. I'm giving them what they want. No, you're not. You fool. You're not even finding what they really want. You're handling the surface need. The surface need gets you paid what your hourly rate is. If you want a raise, you got to get below the surface need and find out what the real needs are and find out what the real problems are so then you can refer them to places where they can get those things solved. Does this make sense to anybody? Could you imagine if you went to your doctor and had the same thing happen? Then rather than your doctor just poking at you in places you don't want him poking at, but he actually just spent 2 minutes to get to know who you were and what you were struggling with and how maybe he could refer you to a place or to someone that can help you solve that problem. How then do you feel about that doctor? Completely different. Same with the hairstylist, same with the nail tech, same with the guy for construction. You see, amateurs only fill the need they've been hired to fill. Amateur businesses only fill the need that they were hired and contracted to fill. The professionals, those people in the 2%, are building community wherever it is that they go. And see, connectors have high value in the marketplace. If you are a resource center, you're personally a resource center, that you are a place that if someone has a problem, they go, I got to call Joe because Joe knows tons of people, and I think he might have the best person I should go to get this problem solved. If you become that trusted advisor into people's lives, you will never, ever need for anything. You will never, ever need for anything if you become that trusted advisor. And how? Not because you have the advice, but because you're a resource center to direct people to places where they can find the solutions themselves. And right now, I am detecting a small but urgent problem. You need to pee. 10 minutes. Be back here. 10 minutes. All right. So number four was to recruit better talent. How do we recruit better talent? Now, who is qualified to recruit better talent? Who should focus on recruiting better talent for a company or an organization? Who?
Everyone.
Everybody. Everybody should be recruiting for better talent. What do you mean, Danny? If you are the spouse of an employee, that company needs better talent. You can be working your own list of resources, Facebook, all social media, when you're at the park with the kids, when you're at a restaurant, when you're at the grocery store. You can be meeting people and building a database, building a list of contacts that then you, if you know or you don't know, regardless, every company is always looking for talent, especially bigger businesses. They have full-time recruiters, full-time. Our business is not that big. We've got 25 employees or whatever. We are recruiting for better talent right now. Another organization that I'm responsible for, at least on Social Security-wise, meaning taxes, legal, everything, because someone has to be responsible. It's just another small organization, multi-million dollar organization. I'm responsible for about $10 million a year that I have to manage. Big, deep breath. Yeah, the POHO is now responsible for about $10 million a year. And that's not our wealth. That's just what I'm responsible to manage money-wise. That's not managing any wealth. My husband manages all our wealth. I'm talking about I'm responsible for generating $10 million a year, $10, $11 million a year, with the goal to get to $100 million at some point. So with managing that, one organization that's a multi-million dollar organization has two people in it, two. And we're looking to recruit better talent. Okay, so what does that mean? And remember, we're talking about the topic today is how to increase your value in the marketplace. I gave you four things to focus on to increase value. What was number one? Did you already forget? You're cheating by looking at your notes. Solve people problems. A big problem that organizations have, companies, firms have, is not enough talent. Not enough talent. It's a huge problem. Remember I said 98% are said there's no opportunity? It's a bunch of BS. There's so much opportunity out there. What 98%ers are not willing to do is to learn how to qualify for the better opportunities. That's one thing they're not willing to do. And second of all, they're not willing to work and do what it takes to be in a better set of circumstances financially or in their career. They're not willing to actually start at the bottom even. There's all kinds of jobs right here in Cleveland, but there's people that are jobless. There's companies right here that are looking for talented people and they can't find them, which means that there's a huge opportunity for someone who's willing to learn to become more talented, more dependable, more consistent with initiative, okay? So how can you become more valuable? Help companies find better talent. I don't care if you're the spouse of someone who works for the company. I don't care if you're the spouse of the owner of the company. Help them find better qualified, better talented people. And you're always looking for better people. If somebody leaves your organization, this is a yes. Why? Because it's an opportunity to find better. You're not going backwards. You're not going to recruit the same person that you recruited. You got to recruit someone that's better, more talented, better thinker, better problem solver. Do you understand? Not just trying to replace the same $7 an hour employee or the $70,000 an hour employee or the $100,000 employee. You're always looking for what was better than what was there already, which again brings me back to you have to identify who it is that you're looking for. If you don't identify who you're looking for, you will not get it. Period. If you aim at nothing, you're surely going to get it. Okay? And nothing becomes dynamic until it becomes specific. So recruiting better talent. You have to identify what your better talent is, and then you have to identify where do you find them. The same exact way that you identify where you find your customer. And guess what? Guess where are great places to find great talent for your company? Your customers. Your customers are great people to recruit from. Some of the greatest. Why? They already believe in your product or your service. They already believe in it. They're already sold out to it. They've already sent other people to it, so it comes natural to them. So some of the best people to recruit for the talent internally are people who are already accessing what it is that you do. Okay? So all that, therefore, that tells you, wait a second, if the kind of customer that you're looking for, right, and you are identified who I'm looking for, where they shop, where they go to church. Do you understand? You establish what their values are and you shop in those places for those people. Then that's the same exact places you're going to shop for better talent to hire inside of your organization. It's not rocket science. It's pretty simple. And by the way, recruiting better talented people takes time. It takes time. It takes time. It takes time. So if you want to add more value to an organization, you can do one of four things. Thank you, friend. You could do one of four things. What's one of the four things you could do? Bring in what? New business and referrals. Number two, find a way to cut costs and save time, make things more efficient. Three, retain the current business that you already have. And number four, recruit better talent. You need to always be recruiting. We just hired a guy for traffic for our business from Canada, and we're still recruiting. In 90 days, we will know whether or not he's going to stick, whether or not we want him. He's a foreign object coming into an existing body, and we will see whether or not the body can manage the new organ transplant that's coming in. Okay, we will know whether or not everything he said in his interview is actually true. We'll know that in 90 days. So guess what? The ads are still out and we are still interviewing. Do you understand? And if we end up with two of these guys, we can't lose. If we end up with three of these guys, we can't lose. We could use 12 people like this. We have enough products and services available that we could have one person just drive. Each one of them are multi-million dollar industries, actually billion dollar industries, some of them, that we could have one person drive just one of those things and go for it. So don't, whoever it is that you have on board now, they're, number one, not going to be there forever. You might want to write that down. They're not going to be there forever. You shoot yourself in the foot by thinking that they will be. You shoot yourself in the foot by thinking that they will be. No. People go through seasons in life. Okay? People go through seasons. They move. They have babies. They swallow their head, and then it ends up in their colon. They do. People get big heads. When people come from nothing, I've seen it so many times, it's terrible. I've seen people come from nothing, get a big head, and forget who they were when they first got started. They forget a lot of things. And then all of a sudden, they are everyone's peer, and they're holier than thou, and they're self-righteous, and they're bigger than everybody, convincing themselves that they're not, and looking to surround themselves with people who tell them that they're not. And then all of a sudden, they get a crink in their neck about the person that they've been following, and that crink in their neck, they kind of look at that person differently, and they just forget everything that's happened in the past as far as all that's been sewed into them. They swallow their head, it goes in their colon, it sits there for a while. How many of you have ever seen this happen? How many of you, it was you? Okay, I have swallowed my own head many times, many, many times. Okay. It's kind of painful coming out. It's real painful. Okay. All right. So let's talk about the brass tacks. All right. So I gave you four different things to focus on for increasing profits. I broke it down. Let's break it down even further. Let's get it down to the people category that makes it very, very simple to do all four of these things. By the way, did I give you at least one thing to work on to increase your value in the marketplace? Okay, how many of you think those are pretty simple things, right? Yes. Okay, how many of you just learned how to increase profits on your business?
Yes.
Okay, it's very simple to increase profits. It's so funny that people look for all these other ways and all these other things to increase profits. It really comes down to you have a product or service, you get it in front of a person. That really is it, okay? So, but now the person, how can we get better at working with people so that we can create more referrals, we can find better talent, so that we can become more efficient, that we can increase the profits, and we can retain the business? There's a specific skill set that I've used for 28 years that's going to be able to show you how to do that really, really well. Now, write this down. It's an acronym called FORM. Now, this is in a system that we have called Unlimited Success. How many of you own this? Okay, Unlimited Success. Who here listens to it? Okay, Unlimited Success. All right, this is 10 hours of training, very specific training on communication skills and promotional skills, like how to promote a product or a service to get really good at it and how to increase your profits, all right? So that's 10 hours. I just finished talking on our last segment for an hour and 15 minutes, all right? There's 10 hours on there. So I'm only scratching the surface on the things that are inside of Unlimited Success. This is one of them. There's 15 strategies in forming a rapport with a client that eventually turns into a referral of some sort, okay? So again, this is going to give you communication skills on how to be able to recruit better talent, how to be able to get lots of customers, referrals from those customers, to get people talking about your cheeseburger, or your roofing services, or your chiropractic services, or your house building services, or your accounting services, or your IT services, whatever services that you have, cooking services, whatever it is, to get people talking about it, to build a relationship, and to be able to tap into other people's centers of influence. Because why? You know how many people? 2,000 people by the time you're what? 20 years old. Which means that every person you know knows what? 2000. Okay? So what's important, earlier I talked to you about making a list of resources, all right? With your list of resources, I call that LOR, leave here making an LOR of at least 200 names, okay? At least 200 names, okay? You want to forever be building a database. Every place you go, you want to be collecting names and phone numbers because these are contacts, and contacts know what? Other people. Contacts know other contacts, okay? So you want to become a referrer of business or services if you want people to be referring your business or your service, all right? Or referring your husband's business or your husband's service or your wife's business or service, all right? So in forming a relationship with people and how you can be very different than everybody else, how you can come out way and above. Remember I was talking about initiative, right? Giving more than what is expected. This is the place where you want to score. Okay? Because like I said, a cheeseburger is a cheeseburger. Travel service is a travel service. Security service is security services. They're just services. On, remember, 98%ers just give the minimum. They asked for a cheeseburger. I gave them a cheeseburger. Do you understand? This is not going to bring success. This is not going to create wealth. What creates the wealth is the cheeseburger and what? Better service. Right? Finding out what the real problems are, really solving the real need. So let's go through the list of things on how to really create a fan out of what you have versus just a simple amateur exchange. All right? So here we go. Number one, here we go. You need to understand that your product or your service is people. Okay? That's number one. Your product or your service is people. Number two, people love to be honored. They love to feel special. They love to be respected. And 93% of all communication is nonverbal. And often, honor is communicated nonverbally. Majority of the time, it's communicated nonverbally. So if we can help the customer have the best possible experience, or the employee have the best possible experience, or our spouse and our kids have the best possible experience, we must help them feel honored, respected, and special. And if your product is people or your service is people, meaning that forget about the product that you're selling, and now you remove whatever the physical product is. If I'm selling pens, it's not the pen because it's a person who's purchasing it. Yes. Do you understand? It's a purchase. Does the pen have the ability to talk about itself?
No.
No. Okay, so am I going to get a referral from the pen? So look what 98%ers do. Amateur business people do what? They know every intricate thing about the pen. Wow. The pen has a lid. Wow. And the lid matches perfectly the color of the ink. And it has a felt tip. And the felt tip is encased by white plastic. Oh, wow. And the white plastic mold then was silk screened the name Expo on the outside. But wait, there's more. Call now and also receive the other side of the pen. We're so strategically on the other side of the pen, it has these little rivets in there that perfectly match the lid. And what's so amazing that today only, if you order now, we can actually take the lid pen off of the top of the pen. You pull it off, and in the same exact way, you go reverse, and then it goes bam. Wow.
That is an amateur. Amateurs focus on all of the features and the benefits of their product. But the professional knows who is buying that product. The professional gets into the emotion as to why the person is purchasing the pen. Why do they want the pen? What are the uses that they're going to use the pen for? How will the pen make their life easier or better? How is it going to feel to be able to have this pen? Do you understand? They tap into the feelings. They tap into the emotions. They tap into the why the person actually needs the product. But the amateur always is selling the geeky ingredients and manufacturing of it and saying, this is the best one ever. And if you don't have it, you only have second best. Your product is the person purchasing your service or your product. Your product is not this. Forget about this and focus on people. Yeah. And people want to feel honored. People want to feel respected. They want to feel set apart. They want to feel special. And this is what causes people to talk about your pen. Because if the people that sold them the pen made them feel honored, special, and important, then now they love this pen because the pen is now associated with honor, respect, and special. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Okay. So the question I have for you is how are you making those you're serving feel?
So good.
How are you making them feel? Are you just giving them the thing that they bought from you? Or are you making them feel honored, special, and important? Okay, well, Danny, I'm not selling anything. Yes, you are. If you're an employee, you sold your employer you. Oh, that's hilarious. If you're working for someone else, they interviewed you, and you sold yourself. You sold yourself to them. You sold them that you were X, Y, and Z. So my question is, have you just given them X, Y, and Z? What are you giving them beyond that? You creating problems or solving problems? Are you bringing honor and respect? So let's talk about ways that bring honor, respect, and making someone feel special. And who should we be making feel respected, honored, and special?
Everyone.
Okay, but give me some everyone's. Give me some names. Who? Your spouse. Your children. Who else? Your parents. Your siblings. Your neighbors. Your boss. People never think to honor and respect and make special, to feel special their boss. Most people just gossip about their boss, complain about their boss. So who are you just selling what you sold to versus making them feel honored, respected, and special? So what are ways to make people feel special, honored, and respected? Okay, how many of you here for the very first time? I want to hear from you. Let's brainstorm. My graduates, I want you to listen and learn from the ones who are here for the first time. So somebody says a simple note. Yes, a simple note makes people feel honored and respected. A thank you card, right? If you've been hired and you've been working for a company for a long time, or you've had a customer for a long time, drop them a thank you note. Just a random thank you note. These things make that person received it feel special and important. So is it the pen? No. It is how I made them feel by associating themselves with us, right? It's our organization that represents. It's people that represent the pen. It's people that buy the pen. So how do we make people feel special, honored, and respected? So someone said a thank you card. A simple note, even if it's a post-it note on someone's desk. Hope you're having a great day. This now, again, puts you in their mind. It was a word of encouragement. So encouragement is one way, right? Giving somebody a compliment is another. What are some other ways that you... Yes?
Recontact the customer that you...
Following up. So he says, recontact the customer. Now, when we recontact the customer, what should we not be talking about? We shouldn't be talking about the pen when we recontact the customer, should we? No. What should we be talking about? Yeah, we should be talking about them and what's important to them. And if we did our homework right, we would have found that information out in our initial contact with that customer, right? Okay. What are some other things that we can do? All right. How about this? Let's try it. I want to see your grill. Try it. Even if your eyes chink up like mine do when you smile, you lose all of your vision. Okay. A smile says honor, respect, and you're special. Simply a smile. When you smile at people, it makes it disarming and it makes them feel special. It makes them feel honored. And that is such an easy thing to do. I can tell you, man, I've had employees for 26 years. Lord have mercy. I've employed people for 26 years. I cannot believe that, but I have. It's been 26 years that I've employed people, okay? And I can tell you, the ones that will not smile in my office, in my organization, are the ones I can't wait to leave. I want to find a way for them to go away. Why? Because they're sucking the energy out of the room. They suck the life out of the organization. And we have to work so much harder to put life in that place because there's somebody that wants to wear their debt or their marriage problems or whatever problems they're carrying with them into the office. Like, no, leave that crap in the car. You're here to do a job. And that job is to help people feel special, honored, and important. And if you're not going to do that today, find another place to work. So a smile makes a huge difference, especially to your boss, especially to the company owner. You have any idea how much pressure that company owner is under? They're under a crazy amount of pressure. They're under a crazy amount of problems that they have to solve, crazy amount of responsibility. You have no idea the things that they're dealing with every single day. And there are days where they wonder whether or not they should keep doing it, whether or not it's freaking worth it. For what? They ain't making that much more money than everybody else. They're really not. They're really not making that much money than everybody else. When it comes down to tax time and all the responsibility time and all the extra hours that they usually have to put in just to make the bottom line meet up together, there's often, well, I'll tell you, well, obviously my employees make more money than I do. They do because I don't take a salary. I'm the lowest paid person in my organization. It's awesome. Eye contact, good one. Eye contact is another one. Eye contact, smiling, note. Those are three simple things right there that can change everything, all right? Okay, so back to this form. You're looking to build a database. You're looking to make that database feel special, honored, and respected. Here is another really important strategy and important skill set to develop. It's getting other people to talk about themselves. This young man spoke earlier saying, be back in touch with that customer, follow up with that customer. Yes, but when you call them back, it's really important not to just talk about your now blue pen because they own the black pen. Do you understand? You want to build relationship and continue to build that relationship. So here is a simple acronym to give you kind of some tracks on the road on how you can build relationship with people. Because how many of you don't like talking to people? Raise your hands up high. Don't be embarrassed. Look around the room. Look how many other people don't like talking to people. Guess what else? Look around the room. Look around the whole room of the people who have their hands up that don't like to talk to people. Look at all those hands everywhere, including in front of you, foo. People who don't like to talk to people, okay? You're looking at a girl who hated to talk to people. I hated it with a passion. In fact, I still have to push myself to engage in a conversation with somebody, with a perfect stranger. Still to this day, I have to push myself to do it. I know you find it very hard to believe that. You don't live in my skin and you don't live inside my head. I was recently in a party with about 100 people, of which 90 of them I did not know. As uncomfortable as all get out, I could cry a river right now about how uncomfortable that was. Super uncomfortable for me. Yeah. Especially when you come in, you're! No, I'm not. I have your book! Awesome. 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 It's so great. Awesome. Which one? I have all three. Oh, awesome. That's awesome. Great. How did you hear about us? My friend told me about you. Great. It's awesome. It's really embarrassing. Cool. Hi, what's your name? Okay. But I'm not kidding you. I still this day am very uncomfortable, especially in groups of people. My husband drugged me to a Metallica concert about a month ago. Wow. Two mosh pits right here. Right here, right here. Good job, girlfriend. Very uncomfortable. way to love that man is right. Okay, so seriously, so I'm with you on the first set of hands that you don't like talking to people. I am right there with you. And I'm so grateful that the first person I had the chance to work with that I first started to succeed did not let me have that excuse, did not let me bury myself in that excuse, and did not let me stay stuck there. So I learned some skills to be able to break free from the fear of talking to people. And all I needed was, what do I say? Who do I say it to? So I'm going to answer those two very simple questions. How many of you are comfortable talking to people? How many of you like talking to people? Okay, then this will be your challenge. You probably talk too much about yourself. Generally, people who are comfortable talking are usually comfortable talking about themselves and talking about their own interests. So the biggest challenge that I have found in working with thousands of people from around the world is the ones who love talking to people usually have the same result of the ones that don't like talking to people. Goose eggs. And the reason is similar. The ones who like talking to people talk too much about what the prospect doesn't care about, and so does the one who doesn't talk to anyone, because they're not letting anyone talk about something they're interested in either. So the result usually ends up the same. So let me show you how to succeed with talking to people. Let me show you how to not look like a slimy, slick oil salesman. Let me show you how to have a conversation result in a win-win scenario to where there's harmony and that both parties are actually glad they got to meet each other. Let me show you how to have a conversation where it does not end in rejection or you looking strange or feeling like you need to take a shower. Let me show you how to communicate in a way where you're not a manipulator. You're not somebody that is flattering people, but that you're able to make a real human connection and be able to discover what it is about somebody else that might be a fit for you or for someone else you know, or you might know someone that might be a fit for them. This is you becoming a resource center and you becoming eventually at some point a trusted advisor in somebody else's life. So FORM is the acronym. It stands for family, occupation, recreation, and message. Okay, family, occupation, recreation, and message. So here's what you do. You get somebody else to talk about these three things: family, occupation, recreation. At the very end of that conversation, then you give a message. Now, why do you form people? Well, what you're looking for is what I call their sign. S-I-G-N, and that is not their horoscope. S stands for strengths. I stands for interests. Goals for G, and needs for N. Sign. So you're looking for the strengths, interests, goals, and needs. Again, now this is how you can get more business, more referrals, and recruit better talent. Also, this is how you can learn to find where there are costs that shouldn't be being spent and time that is being wasted, all through FORM, okay? You will use this to interview people for your company, interview people to become distributors for your brand, interview prospects that are prospective customers for you or for somebody else. You're going to use this also to recruit a spouse if you don't have one and you're single. Where are you? Single people. You will use this to be able to locate who you want to sleep with for the rest of your life. You will use this to find what the biggest challenges are your boss is having and how you can serve that boss in such a way that puts you in an elevated state, getting yourself promoted. You're going to use this with your coworkers to find out and to build bridges with your coworkers to find out what their needs are and how you can now become somebody that they actually like to work with versus they don't even know who the heck you are. You could actually find out what problems your coworkers are having that you can then refer them to other places so that when it comes time for someone to get promoted into a management position, you have already rallied and what is the word? No. Oh, poop stain. Campaigned. You have already campaigned internally. Do you know there's some people that don't get promoted to management because no one likes them? Yep. There are people that they can do the job, but because they have not built relationships with the other people in the company, they certainly can't get promoted to lead those people because no one likes them. So therefore, that person doesn't get promoted to management because they have not built relationships strategically with everybody else inside the organization. Some of you just found out why you haven't been promoted. It's because you don't care about anybody else inside the organization. You're just focused on your tasks. No, business is people. Business is people. And if you want to move into management, you've got to build strategic relationships within the organization. As you do that, when the upper management sees that you're well connected inside the organization, you're the obvious next person. And guess what? The people below are happy that you're getting promoted. Why? Because you built relationship with them. They don't know why, like, consciously. They just know, I'm happy for you versus I'm jealous for you and I'm going to make your job miserable. And I hope you get fired so I can get picked next. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Anyway, but that's just how people think, okay? So you're going to use it to build relationships strategically with your coworkers. You're going to use it to build relationships with the customers. You're going to use it to build relationships in your community. And why do you build it in your community? Man, it's going to save you money. You see, the guy that does my electric at my house, he's so awesome. He very rarely ever gives me a bill. Very rarely. He's like, don't worry about it, Danny. Nah, it only took a couple minutes. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'd say it's 1 in 4 visits do I ever get an invoice from him. Why? Bing. Form. Am I trying to get a freebie? No. But that seems to be the result of what happens, is that he ends up not wanting to give me a bill. I guess because I asked him about his family, how he started in business, what he likes to do for fun, and every time I see him, I ask him about his family, I ask him about his 3 beautiful daughters, does he have any pictures with him? Literally, it's 1 in 3 visits that he's actually given me a bill. And he's been at the house probably 7-8 times. So it will cut your costs. Do you understand? It will cut your costs. It will save you money and time. And by the way, he comes right when I call. No joke. Something breaks, he's like, I'm there. Thank you, man. Why? I built a relationship with him versus being another wench who doesn't give him the time of day, who doesn't care about who he is or what he does. I open the door, I point, and I say goodbye. That is not building relationship with my community. Does that make sense? Cool. Okay. You're going to form your kids' teachers. You're going to form your kids' school principals. Everyone, everywhere you go, okay, you want to use this technique. Now I'm going to demonstrate the technique. I need somebody who has never been here, who has never seen that acronym. Hold on. I guess she just decided it's her. She won. You were told to run? Hi.
Hi.
I'm Danny.
I'm Katie.
Hi, Katie. Very nice to meet you. We're going
to
start over there. Okay. This is your first time here?
Yep.
Awesome. Yeah. Have you ever been to Walmart?
Yeah. A few times.
Yeah, me too. That's where we're at. Okay. Why don't you just be as natural as you would be, okay? We're at Walmart, and the place is packed.
Joy.
And there's only 5 checkout stands that are available.
Okay.
Have you ever been in that situation?
Unfortunately.
Yeah, it's awesome, isn't it? I'm going to ask you to keep the mic closer to your mouth because then we can hear you.
Okay.
Can you hear her okay? Is she? How many think she's kind of low? There's a few. Can we just turn her up a little bit? I can barely hear in my monitors also. Okay.
Hi.
Man, can you believe how crazy busy this place is?
No, it's awful.
Yeah. Do you normally shop here at this time?
Yeah. It's best for the family.
It's best for the family to shop at this time?
Yes.
Family, how do you have kids?
I do. I have 4 little kids.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So I shop after they're in bed.
Yeah. How old are they?
A 6-year-old son, twin 3.5-year-old girls, and a 1.5-year-old boy.
Wow. Wow.
It's a little crazy.
You gonna have any more?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Yep.
Why not?
I have my hands full. I have enough now. Yeah.
That's awesome. What are the names?
Spencer, Madeline, and Amelia, and Jameson.
Oh, those are great names.
Thank you.
That's awesome. So you're married?
Yes.
Awesome. Are you guys originally from here?
No. South Dakota.
South Dakota.
Yeah.
Wow. What's it like there?
About the same as here.
How so? Tell me. What's the same?
It's the Midwest. So it's like the same weather. The people are amazing and nice and friendly.
Aw. That's awesome. What brought you to this area?
This event.
No. We're not here. And I'm not her.
My husband's job.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What does he do?
He does heating and air conditioning.
Oh, for who?
Howe Heating and Plumbing.
Awesome. How long has he been doing that?
10 years.
Wow. Mm-hmm. What does he like about it?
He actually loves the people.
Does he?
Yeah.
That's awesome. And you're full-time home with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
What do you like about that? Well, the line is moving.
Oh, finally.
Yeah.
I get to be home with my kids, and I get to raise them, and I get to teach them my morals and values versus somebody else trying to discipline my kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And spending time with them, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what do you and your husband like to do for fun in the area?
We really like to take our boat out and go to the lake and spend time with the kids.
What kind of boat?
Just a little, like, not a fishing boat and not a yacht.
What kind of boat?
Just a little power boat. Like a pontoon.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
So what do you guys like to do on the boat?
We like to tube. Just pull us around.
That's awesome. What else do you guys like to do?
We also like to golf.
You golf? Really?
Yeah.
Are you any good?
No.
Do you get to go do that a lot?
No.
Why not?
Because babysitters are expensive.
Yeah. Have you found a dependable one?
Yeah, we have. The neighbor kid up the street.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so that's nice.
Good. So your husband's in heating and air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are you happy that he's in that line of work?
Yes. He stays very busy in this area.
Does he?
Mm-hmm.
That's
busy during the summer and the winter. And then spring and fall are his slow times, so that's when we spend time together.
Is that when you go boating?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, golfing?
More golfing.
More golfing than boating.
Yeah.
Oh, is it cold?
Yeah.
Gotcha. What do you not like about being a full-time mom to Spencer and Madeline and Amelia and Jameson?
Sometimes it's really tough to get out of the house, and sometimes I just need a break. A breather, because it's a lot to be a full-time mom.
How so?
It can get really stressful and really overwhelming.
Like how?
Because I have to chase after 4 small kids. Yeah.
Do they run
them different places. And the girls are at the age where temper tantrums can be tough.
Mm.
And they want to communicate, but they can't really yet.
Mm.
Yeah. And the 6-year-old's in school. So getting him to and from school and all that fun stuff.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like fun. Wow. Okay, we are finally checking out here. This is awesome. You know, what was your name?
Katie.
I got your kid's name. But I didn't. Katie, nice to meet you. I'm Danny.
Nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you. You made the line go by so fast.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. You know, I couldn't help but notice that you were saying, although you love your husband's job, he loves his job, and that he stays busy, year-round, and he makes, it sounds like he makes pretty good money. But I did notice that you were saying that you can use some time away sometimes. Get away from the stress and the craziness of these 4 kids all under the age of 6 and younger.
Yeah.
But that babysitters are kind of expensive and, so therefore you're kind of chained to this thing called mom quite a bit. Now, I don't know if what we do would ever apply to you, but you might know somebody else that is looking for an opportunity to be able to increase their income and be able to have a little bit more freedom and freedom away from major responsibilities. I don't even know if you have the kind of qualifications or the kind of person that we would be looking for, but you might know somebody else that is looking for a way to increase their income, pay off some debt, and have a bit more freedom in their life so that they can just, you know, be all around just better when they're around their children.
Happier.
Happier, you know, things like that. So you might know somebody because, you know, today the economy, things are kind of crazy. And so I'm sure you and your husband are just completely satisfied with everything you guys are doing. Everything is just rock solid. But when can I get you some information? You might be able to pass it to someone else that might be looking for a way to really make a difference in that income so that they could have more freedom.
And I could get you my phone number right now.
Okay. All right. So what would that number be? Make it up.
605-555-1234.
Oh, that's such an easy phone number. Thank you so much. I love those last four digits. Right. It's so easy. Okay, awesome. And when's a good time to contact you so I can get that information?
Usually in the evening after 8.
After 8. Kids are in bed?
Yeah.
You've had a breather at that point?
Exactly.
Like,
a glass
what time
of
do they...
wine.
Or a bottle. Sounds like a bottle might be in order sometimes. Yeah. Depends on Madeline and Amelia for sure.
Right.
In those wonderful stages. Those are so much fun. Okay, cool. So I'll call you after 8. I'll go and check my calendar in the car.
Perfect.
and figure out when I can get you that information. Again,
awesome.
Just be thinking about somebody that you might know that, again, wants some more freedom, wants some more time away, that can afford that, you know, that wants to make that extra money so they can afford that babysitter whenever is necessary, especially the spur of the moment,
right.
moments before you kill your children,
right.
which I know that you would never do.
Never.
Ever. Yeah. Anyway, so anyway, it was so good to meet you.
Great to meet
and
you.
Welcome to Cleveland.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, stay right there. All right, awesome. So... what did we learn about Katie?
Yeah.
What did we learn about Katie? She has four children, all 6 years old and under. Set of twins, twin little girls, right? Two boys and a girl. Okay. What else did we learn about her? Well, first of all, let's go here. What would you say are her strengths, interests, goals, and needs? Let's start at the top with strengths. Someone says patient.
Don't know.
She's like, they don't know me.
Positive attitude.
Yeah, she did have a positive attitude, and she seems to be able to manage a lot, right? Four kids, 6 years old, and that's a lot to manage, a lot of scheduling. She obviously has to have some kind of organization in her life to be able to manage kids like that. She also spoke very highly of her husband. She's not a negative Nelly. She's very edifying about her husband, about the company he works for, which is also a great strength and shows some good character out of the wife. What are her interests?
Her children.
Her children. She's very interested in her children.
Outdoor activities.
Outdoor activities, absolutely. Golfing, boating. Yep. Loves to be with her husband. Loves the family all to be together. Okay. What would be some goals that she might have or a goal that she has? To get out of the house, okay? To be able to afford a babysitter for whenever it is that she wants it, okay? So that would be a goal. And also, what would be a need that she has? Money and time away, okay? Money and moments away to herself. All right, so basically what I did is I simply just led the conversation to find out and learn about Katie. So I learned, and what did I use? I got her to talk about her family, where she was from, was she married? It was really funny. So it was simple, like, do you normally shop here? She offered me the information about how many kids, about her kids. Yes, it's best for the family. Family, as in you have children. Yes, I have children. How many? Four. Do you understand? So I got her to talk about what her greatest interests are to talk about, right? So in her talking about her family, her husband and her occupation, what they like to do for fun, that presented the strengths, interests, goals, and needs. So then brings me to my message. Okay, so in this case, I could be a real estate agent. I could be an insurance agent. I could be a local business owner of a restaurant. I could be selling cosmetics. I could be selling travel services. I could be selling lots of different things. So in this case, because there was a financial need, right, then I offered... And again, I wasn't coming at her to either join my product, my service, or my business for her to make extra money if I had an opportunity like that. Or it could be that I owned a retail store and I'm looking for somebody to work an extra 10 hours a week, right? And I may want to interview her for that. So finding this need that she had financially, this then brought, I brought the message. And the message is actually out of this script book right here. Who owns the script book? Okay, awesome. So inside the script book on page 38... would be something that you would want to memorize, okay? And it's called the face-to-face conversation approach. And basically, my message was this paragraph, all right? And this is a paragraph I've been speaking for like 28 years. Okay, same message every time, no matter where it is that I go. When I'm forming somebody, I'm asking the same exact questions. Where are you from? Are you married? How many kids do you have? Okay, finding out about the family, everything I just demonstrated. So when I find this, strength, interest, goals, and needs, and sometimes you don't find all of these things in that first initial conversation, especially if you only have 2 minutes for that conversation. I had about 5 to have the conversation with her. So when I have that 5-minute conversation, I was able then to formulate, I know what her need is, I know what her goal is, I know what her strength is, and I basically fished it right back to her. I gave her what she wanted instead of giving her what I wanted to sell her, okay? An amateur is going to lead with their product and service. A professional is going to lead with what the prospect wants. That's what you lead with. Relationship first, business follows, okay? So this conversation, the message was simple, and it's right here inside of this. I don't know if you want to be taking notes, but I don't want to step on your book. So that was simple. I couldn't help but notice that you were saying, although you love your husband's job and he makes plenty of money and you love being with your kids and you guys like to go boating and all of this, that perhaps some extra money might be something that you would be looking for. Now, I don't know if you have the qualifications of the kind of person that you're looking for. I'm now taking it away. Okay, I don't know if you have what it is that we need, and I don't even know if our company is something that would really appeal to you, but you might know someone else. Takes the pressure and it's disarming off of the prospect. You might know someone else that might need to make some extra money so they can get out of the house, have a little bit of freedom, be able to go golfing more, be able to go boating more, right? So right away, she's like, you can have my phone number now. Did you hear her say that? You can have my phone number now. Okay, yeah, great. Now, so again, I didn't get rejected, but let me show you, same exact scenario. We are at Walmart, okay? And let me show you another way that this whole thing can go. You ready? Can you believe how crazy busy this place is?
It's awful.
Oh, I totally agree. Do you normally shop here at this time?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you kind of seem like the kind of girl that would really enjoy my lipstick. I have the most, here, watch this. I have the most incredible, check this out. See this color? It's really amazing, and I work with this company, and they actually make this so awesome, and that we can actually sell it, and you can sell it to your girlfriends, and your girlfriends can sell it to their girlfriends, and then your girlfriends can sell it, and it keeps going, and you can make like $10,000 like your first week. And would you like to come down to a meeting at 7 o'clock at the Cleveland Hilton so you can learn more about how you can make more money with all of my makeup?
No, I don't even wear lipstick.
Oh, well, then you might need these oils. Here, smell this. Isn't this amazing? This is peppermint. Opens up everything. Ah, it just makes you feel so good and heightens all your senses, and it helps with digestion, helps with morning sickness, and it helps with headaches. And here, try again. See, isn't that amazing? It just kind of refreshes you throughout the day. It kind of just makes everything happen. And we have thousands of these. We have so many. I have Digies, like if you have a tummy ache or if you have any kids and they have a tummy ache, you just rub it on their tummy. I do it on my grandkids. It makes them feel so much better. And then we also have this strawberry oil, and we have this rose oil, and we have this lavender oil. Lavender is amazing. Here, you got to try it. Smell. It's on your face. It's so nice. It's really amazing. I think you would like it. And there's a financial opportunity that goes along with it. Would you like to try some oils? We have a meeting on Thursday night out at the Westin in downtown. We're going to have a meeting there, and there's some of us girlfriends kind of getting together. Would you like to come and learn more about the oils? You could put them on your feet. Here, give me your foot. You can put them on your foot. You don't want to. Here, this is stress away. It's really awesome stuff. It'll make you not stressful. See, smell. See? This works so good. Kind of smells like coconut and lime. It's really incredible. And then we have an entire line of supplements too. Oh, sure. Okay. And by the way, I also sell real estate. You see my face everywhere, right? So I have their science. See? Yeah, I'm sure. Anyway, so here's a brochure and a card. Here's my face on the card for real estate. If you ever want to buy a house, I would love to help you. I'd love to serve you. I'd love to serve you if you want to buy a house. So would you be interested in buying a house?
No.
Some oils?
No.
How about my lipstick?
No.
Can I have your phone number?
No.
Can I have it? Can I have it? Can I have your phone number? Can I have it?
No.
Can I have it?
No.
Can I have it? Can I have it? Can I get your number? Can I get your number? Can I have it?
No.
Can I have it?
No.
I sell insurance. I have a restaurant. Time out. How many of you have ever been approached like that? Here's the next question. How many of you have approached people like that? Come on, who here has approached people like that? You see how ridiculous you just looked? Can you now see why you have no friends left? A part of the NFL? You see why you have no friends left? Okay. Now, what must you do? Let's go back to this morning of taking personal responsibility. You have a lot of people to call to say, please forgive me. I totally was an idiot when I tried talking to you about my whatever it was that you're trying to talk about. Okay, so why would you not give me your phone number? Can I have it? Can I have it? Can I have it?
Because it does nothing for me.
It does nothing for you. Tell me more about that.
Like you didn't, how does any of that relate to me based on anything that you said to me or I said to you? It didn't.
You're right. Because
I don't even wear lipstick.
Exactly. And you don't want any oils. And you don't want to buy a house from me, especially. And you already have insurance.
Right. Mm-hmm. So why are you any better?
Exactly. Look at that attitude that girl has. I like it. Okay. So basically, she just told me I didn't meet her needs. Wait, I didn't even try to find out what her needs were. Wait, I was an amateur who assumed I knew what her needs were. And this is why amateurs are broke. It's because they're not finding out what the need is. They're assuming they know what the need is. And when you assume you know the need is when you fail. But the first go around, what product was I selling?
Yourself.
What was the name of my product?
I don't even know.
What service do I have?
I don't know.
What color is it?
Got nothing.
Who do I work for? What's the company name? What's the product name? Where am I from?
I know nothing about you.
Do I have any kids? Do I have any kids? Am I married?
You got a nice
ring. Am I from Cleveland? Yeah, I do. Bam. Am I from Cleveland? You don't know anything about me.
No.
And you gave a perfect stranger your phone number. I could be a serial killer. I could be a child abductor. She gave me her phone number. She knows nothing about me, knows nothing about my product, my company, my service, my anything. She knows absolutely nothing. And yet, she gave me her phone number. Why?
Trust you.
Why did you trust a perfect stranger standing in line at Walmart that you know nothing about?
Because you were interested in me and you were friendly. Yeah. You took the time to get to know me.
How did you feel?
Special. Because I didn't know anything about you, but you asked about me and my life.
Perfect stranger.
Yep.
One last example of how to use form the most ineffective way possible. Ready?
Yep.
Okay. That's really funny. That's good. bless him. Pause. That will work 100% of the time. To never getting a phone number, not meeting 2,000 people that she knows, and not finding a woman who is totally committed to her family, an edifying and encouraging woman to her spouse, a woman who's committed to her 4 children, and putting her morals and her values into her kids. I would have been robbed of the opportunity to be able to tap into birds of a feather that flock together. This is an amazing woman standing here before me on the stage.
Yes.
Who is a qualified prospect for a number of different things, but I was ignoring her standing in line at Walmart. How'd that make you feel?
Nothing. It made me feel like I was nothing. I was just there.
What else?
Bored.
Ignored.
Very ignored.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How many of you do that one? Ouch.
Ouch.
So we do that one, we miss an opportunity. There's always opportunity standing all around us all the time. All around us all the time. If we don't open our mouth, we miss the opportunity. Whether it is that I could be in need of a better air conditioning service, right? And now I have
someone.
She knows someone. Now I have found one. And or her and I could be swapping kids to relieve each other, right? Meaning I'll take your kids on Fridays, you take my kids on Thursdays, and we get entire blocks of time that we could have some freedom together. That could be a contact for that. Do you understand? Or just to be able to make a new friend of a woman who doesn't gossip, moan, and complain about her husband. A broad who doesn't emasculate her man, but a woman who lifts her husband up. That in itself is of great value to me personally. Not negative Nelly, who I shouldn't be around, but instead it's someone who's edifying of her husband. And she has a boat. She got a boat. She got kids who she's pouring morals and values into. I need kids. I need someone to play with my kids. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there's a synergy and a collaboration of values that could be made by simply forming somebody. So there's multiple different layers of where this relationship could go. And if, let's say, that there wasn't a need for babysitting or whatever, then my message would be, you know what? I'd love to get your contact information, because if I'm ever in need of someone, if I'm ever in need of needing somebody that does heating and air conditioning, I want to know exactly who to call. And it sounds like it's your husband who loves his job and he loves the people. So oftentimes you call people that don't like to even be there doing the work. So I would love your contact information so I can find out how to get a hold of your husband just in case I have a need, and any of the other ladies in my neighborhood that would need that too. So now I'm helping her husband, bringing business to her husband and to his job. Make sense? Awesome. Good job. Excellent. Okay, so I don't know if you noticed, but that conversation was met with a smile. We had eye contact. Do you understand? All of these things communicate, nonverbal communication. You nonverbally can communicate honor and respect and making someone feel special. But that was a prime example of 3 different scenarios of what you could do. We know that 2 of them, 1 works very well. 99% of the time, you're going to get a phone number from somebody. Okay, now I know some of you have tried doing part of this. You get to the F, the O, the R, and then you go... Right? You're attempting to make that contact. Listen, if it make it all about them, this is a win-win situation. If you're looking for how you can help them, whether build their practice or whatever their business or their husband's business is, or just to stay in touch and maybe exchange contact information for babysitting or whatever, a way to help each other out, a way to build community, it's important to always be building that list. And now that person goes on your list of resources. The other thing that I demonstrated was listening. I regurgitated everything she said to me because I wasn't thinking of what my next question was going to be. Now, how can you use this online? So very simply. Let's talk about that. Because online is a great way to be able to build customers, to find good talent, and to make money, no question. If you were to take this thing called Form and you were to take it to Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, you'll build a huge database from there. Why? Why do people get on Facebook? It's for a personal connection with other people, even though it's cyber, okay? And people like to talk about, why do people make posts? They want to be heard. So there's an element, there's kind of a, Facebook implies that you're going to be heard and you're going to be seen, right? And being heard and being seen is what makes people feel special and important. So people post what their interests are on Facebook. They post what their interests are on Instagram and Twitter, all over social media. People post what it is that they're interested in. So you can actually form people simply by just looking at their page. You can see what they're interested in. Okay? But what's important is that you stay in control of the conversation, that you do not just blast what your product or service is all over Facebook. You'll get blocked. People will not want to see your posts anymore if all you're doing is selling them something. If the only reason why you're there is to get them to be your customer, they don't want anything to do with you there. So it's really important for you to use Form on Facebook. How can you do that? Post on other people's walls. Don't just respond to their posts in your newsfeed, but go to their wall and make a statement on their wall, even commenting on their pictures. Then you're getting interested in what they're interested in, okay? Don't be the person that just makes your posts and never go back to respond to the people who are commenting back to you, but engage relationship when you make a post and they respond, engage in relationship there with Form. Hey, where are you from? How are the kids? It could be some people that you do know or it might be people that you don't know. But start to draw and get them to talk about themselves in those social media platforms. Then you get to a place of private messaging before you ever get to message. And Facebook is going to take a little longer than standing in line at Walmart. Do you understand? So that's a little bit longer of a process because it's not live and interactive right there, meaning somebody makes a post, you see it an hour later, you comment, they see it an hour later. They get a notification. So very rarely is it right back and forth. But I can tell you, I've recruited a lot of business just from private messaging on Facebook. And from what? Tapping into my old schoolmates that I haven't seen in 30 plus years on there. Just again, seeing them on Facebook. Who did you marry? How long have you been married? How many kids do you have? And just continuing to control the conversation and them talking about themselves. And as I continue to do that, even though they're, well, who did you marry? I ignore the question. And I still go right back to, well, what are the ages of your sons? And I, again, get them talking, keep them talking, keep them talking. And that at the right opportune moment, and that's, again, where I found the strength, interest, goals, and needs, that's when I will give them a message. That's when I will drop them a link. That's when I will guide them in a direction where they can get whatever it was that their needs were. Versus coming to Facebook with my needs, I want to go to Facebook to fill other people's needs. Another thing that you can do on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and remember I was saying earlier to know who it is that you're looking for, know what kind of customer it is, that the ideal customer for the business. Okay, here's a prime example. Where do they hang out on Facebook? What pages do they like? So what other communities are they tapped into? Do you understand? So, and then you tap into those communities. So let's just say that, your ideal customer is a conservative Baptist. Okay, well, there's a good chance that they have liked certain conservative Baptist preachers. Do you understand that they've liked those Facebook pages or Instagram pages? They follow some of those people. So now you go over to those pages, and now you're going to find a whole bunch of people just like them. Do you understand? And in some cases, they might like Benny Hinn. They might like Morris Cirillo. They might like Hillsong. They might like the Catholic Church. You will see that they're tapped into a larger group of people. All right, so let's say this. Let's say that your ideal client is a married female, age 40, right? Age, 30 to 45. Okay, so she's married. So do you want a nagging broad who is married, or are you looking for somebody who wants a sexy, hot, wonderful, fulfilling, harmonious marriage? Well, those are two different pages on Facebook.
Do you understand what I'm saying? And there are pages of Facebook that I love my husband. There's pages on Facebook that I love my wife. Do you understand? So again, that's why it's so important to identify who's your ideal customer, because they are a part of other communities and social network areas that then you go to that place and talk to those people. Something that I guided our clients to do a long, long time ago, like for example, when I was on Oprah, I'm like, go over to Oprah's page. Because the page is going to be flooded when I'm on that show. Go over there and top form those people who are commenting on the show. Why? Because they like Oprah. They're either talking bad about me or they're talking good about me, one or the other. They're commenting about what's going on. This is like values or some of like interests, and that's a place that you can fish in that pond. So same with when I was on Fox, like, or Steve Harvey recently, right? Go to Steve Harvey's page. Even go to their website, because people are live and active right then and there talking to each other. It's a great way to fish in those ponds. Even though I haven't been on Steve Harvey for I don't know how long, it's months or whatever, that's still a pond to fish in. Do you understand? Because there's like values or like-mindedness over there. So if you're looking for the people that represent that profile, that's where those people are hanging out. Okay. Now, of course, you're going to find all kinds of riffraff in those places too, but I'm just saying that you can fish in all of those other ponds and begin to use form with people to make that happen, okay? Next. Is show a genuine interest in their interests. Now, what would I do after I collect her name and phone number? I'm going to call her back. I'm going to call her at 8 o'clock if my schedule permitted. If not, it'll be the next night at 8 o'clock. And then I would simply turn to page 40, sorry, 40. Yeah, page 40. And page 40 has a whole nother script, okay? Page 40's script is simply, I'm just going to read that script. And so it'd be, hi, Katie, this is Danny. You and I met yesterday at Walmart. How did the rest of your day go? So now I'm going to continue to build relationship with her. When we spoke, I told you that I would get you some information so that you would be able to, or that someone that you know would be able to increase their income so that they could like afford a babysitter more often to be able to get some time away. Okay, so I'm repeating back to her what was important to her. To save us both time, I need to ask you a few questions to figure out which information to direct you to. Okay, so then the script just continues to go on, and the script just will form her even more, establishing more of a relationship in there. And then I can then drive her to whether it's a web page that has some kind of presentation on her or a conference call that has a presentation on it. Whichever way it is that I have some kind of a presentation, then I would direct her to that, and then I would follow up with her. So just keeping that process really, really simple. Okay, so I am 30 minutes ahead now. I like that. I like being ahead. So now let's, in this last 30 minutes, I need my black pen. Let's move into turning those leads, if you will, into sales. How do you turn leads into sales? This would be core profit skills. Okay, number one, if you have an existing organization or company and you want to grow it more, you have to increase your exposure. Now, exposure is what I just finished talking about for the last hour. Okay, that one connection, right, has now, I've now exposed myself to a brand new person. This brand new person, if I do my job right of honor and respect, and I look to fill her needs first before I try to fill my own needs, I now have access to expose my brand to 2,000 other people that I don't personally know, all right? So I have access into a whole nother community, access to a whole nother center of influence, and it's from that center of influence that I will be able to do what? Find a job for my husband, find a job for me if I'm in need or he is in need of a job. Have access to air conditioning services, right? And the 2,000 people that she knows, I don't know. If I'm selling lipstick, if that is what I sell, there might be at least someone in the 2,000 that she knows that might like lipstick. Do you understand? And if I build a relationship correctly, she will refer me for the lipstick to other people. In fact, I might even convert her
into wearing lipstick. Accidentally, without trying, right? Without trying, that might be what happens. Why? Because that's what happens with engagement. The more you hang out with people that have a different interest in you, the more you're like, oh, let me try that, right? Isn't that how it goes? So exposure. So I just demonstrated some exposure. We've been talking about exposure actually for the last several hours, okay? Number two, through the exposure, all right, then you make an initial contact. Or we'll call it, I'll just call it initial contact, okay? So with the initial contact, that would be like page 40, where now, okay, so this initial thing, that whole demonstration I did with her was just simply exposure. Now, here's something really important to pay attention to. I'm not an artist, but this is a funnel. Okay? There's multiple different ways of exposure. We already talked about them, right? We talked about social media. We talked about advertising. We talked about flyers, remember? We talked about your own personal list of resources. At the top of the funnel is where the majority of the people are going to be contacted or introduced or seen. Like, for example, if we look at car commercials, right? A car commercial has 30 seconds to sell you a car or to just pique your interest. How many of you say they have 30 seconds to sell you a car? Commercial on television, 30 seconds to sell you a car. Okay, how many of you say to pique your interest? Okay, so to pique my interest for what? To buy the car. It's both and. So at the top of the funnel, they want to just wet your whistle with the idea. They want you to just think about it. That's it. They just want that impression to be made on your head so you just kind of think about it. So the top of the funnel is exposure. The vast majority of the people who see it are not going to buy. But as they come through, there's different steps of engagement before people then get out the bottom. That doesn't look right, but anyway, so there are many more people that are going to see an advertisement than those that are actually going to call. Does that make sense? Many more people are going to see the advertisement for the car that are actually going to end up showing up or actually making the phone call to call the dealership to see if they have a brown one. People don't buy brown ones anymore, do they? Red one. They still buy red. Okay. So they're actually going to make the phone call. Brown was in the 90s, huh? I promise I'm not stuck in the 90s. Okay, so do you understand? So exposure then brings to the initial contact, the initial conversation. That's the second step. Then from there, there will be a presentation. Okay, so this is where, okay, so this is the, they see it, they respond, but only a few respond. So here's a phone call. They call, do they have a red one? Right? They say yes, right? So then the next step is we show up to drive. We're going to do a test drive, right? So I'm just going to go look at it. I'm just going to go sit in it. I'm not going to buy it. I'm just going to drive. I'm just going to test drive it, right? How many of you have done this? Okay. So even out of those who test drive it, does everybody buy? Does everybody buy who called in to see if they have a red one? Does everybody buy who saw the advertisement? No. So you hear what I'm saying? There's always going to be far many more numbers that see it that never respond. Out of the ones that respond, even the ones that respond, there's even few that actually will actually take a step to see the presentation. So the test drive at the car lot is a presentation. Okay? That's the presentation. What's a presentation if you own a restaurant? Huh? The menu. The menu is part of the presentation. The wait staff is part of the presentation, right? Most people go to sit in a restaurant. Most of them will end up staying and ordering something. Sometimes you do get up and you leave. How many of you have ever gotten up and left? Yes, we all have, right? But in most cases, most people who get to the presentation stage, they partake in something. They may not partake in the full meal deal. They may not partake in, you know, cocktails, appetizers, then the main course, and then dessert. Do you understand? All of those of which are upsells, right? Every single one of those are upselling opportunities. Appetizer is an upsell. Same with the main course and the other. All right, so in the presentation, there's 10 simple steps to do in a successful presentation. I've been doing presentations for about 29 years now. Presentations are a long conversation to have with you. Right now, we don't have the time. So with a presentation, I'll give you just a couple quick little tips. How many of you do presentations? By the way, presentations are management staff meetings. That's a presentation. A date is a presentation. Some of you are still single because you haven't mastered the skills of presenting yet. Actually, some of you aren't even talking to people. You're not even exposing yet, right? Okay, eHarmony, by the way, has this whole thing mastered right here. They got it. They have this brilliantly mastered. All right, so the presentation, number one, really most important thing to do in a presentation is identify with who you're talking to, and that's build, me, choose. Do not try to make yourself sound bigger or better than they are, but you want to sound just like who they are. And so you make statements that cause them to say, oh, me too. Wow, they're just like me, all right? So build me too's in a presentation. The second important thing to do inside of a presentation is to tell stories. Facts tell people information they need to think about. Stories is actually what causes people to move. Stories motivate people. Stories cause people to be engaged. Stories bring the actual emotional content to the product or the service in which you are talking about. If you are not telling stories, you are not going to be as effective. You're like, well, how do I do that with dating? Figure it out, fool. Figure it out, fool. Okay, number three, very important thing to do in a presentation is to always have a close. Is to always have a close. There has to be a closing statement that causes people to come to a decision. Okay? If you do those three things, you probably will end up selling something accidentally. Even if you left out all of the ingredients, you left out all of the facts. I'm not kidding you. You left out all of the statistics. If you simply just said who you are, and you built me twos in that. So it's like, you know, prior to getting started, I was suffering under a tremendous amount of debt. I was working like a dog. I never saw my family. I was stressed out and I was ticked off that I wasn't where I thought I should be by this point in age. How many of you relate to the things I just said? Okay. So if that's truly your story, that is you building me twos. Okay, versus saying, well, prior to getting started, I was a vice president of engineering, and I have 10 degrees, and I have a PhD, and I've been super successful throughout my career. How many of you do not relate with that? And please tell me what you think of that. Yeah, who cares? Right? Who cares? You know what I'm saying? So that's the difference between building me too. Now, if I was with engineers, you know, maybe some that could perhaps relate to one engineer in the room, but that one engineer is going, I'm better than you. I have 11 degrees. Do you understand what I'm saying? So versus, you know, prior to getting started, I was an engineer. And like most engineers, I was working 60 hours a week. I was buried in problems that seemed to have no possible solution that was the perfect solution that we were looking for. I was frustrated with some of the people that I was working with. Are there any engineers that relate to anything I just said? So again, it's emotional content that builds me twos, okay? So with the testimonials also build emotional content. It also connects with the people that are listening, and it also proves that what you're talking about is real and that it works and it gets the result that the prospect is looking for. The close. So really, if all you did was those three things, that's all you had time for? Those are the three most important things, the close. So what's a close? I like personally to have what we call an attack and confess in a close. Really important. A lot of people do presentations that don't have a close, and this is why they get nothing done. So they present. And then there's nothing. Why? There has to be a call to action. There has to be a call to action, which is the next thing on the list. I'm playing with two pens. Close. You got to close the deal. You got to get good at closing deals. Now, when it comes to prospecting, presenting, and closing, it's all numbers. It is all numbers. And the key to good growth and consistent growth is tracking your numbers consistently. If you don't track your numbers, it's the same as working out, which I just started about a year ago. I was a fitness atheist until a year ago. I was really a fitness atheist, even though I had tens of thousands of clients from the fitness world and have had tens of thousands of clients in the fitness world for the last 13 years. I have clients who've owned gyms. I've had clients who sell videos that help you to get fit. I'm not talking about nutrition. I'm talking about fitness. Fitness atheist until a year ago. Even though I was that, I got converted through a book and through a certain young lady who dropped 160 pounds, which is amazing, who now weighs less than the weight she lost. She's lost 160 pounds, and you're 130? She's 130 pounds now. So she lost more than what she weighs right now, which is incredible. She's stunning. Very proud of her. So I was totally inspired by that, and she did it through fitness and obviously changing what she was eating. Yes, so long and the short of it is that after this conversion, what I learned inside this thing was it was all the same to succeed in fitness, which I now have a goal, which you have to have. If you don't have a vision, you're not going to accomplish it. But I'm going to be a 50-year-old fitness model is what I'm going to be. I have a year and a half to get there, and I'm going to do it again at 60. Yeah. I'm going to do it again at 70. I'm going to do it again at 80. Why? Because if I don't have that goal, guess what I'm going to be? I'm going to be my mom. I'm going to be old. I'm going to be on 25 different pills. I'm going to have all kinds of other back problems, knee problems, health problems, high blood pressure problems, cholesterol problems. Do you understand? That's what's in my future if I don't pick a totally different goal. I have no desire to win a fitness competition at all. I just have a desire to show up. That's it. So I have to show up, cross the stage, and run home as fast as I can and be done with that darn thing already. Because I know myself, and if I don't have something that scares the crap out of me, I'm not going to do it. It's just not going to happen. I'm going to give in and give up. So when I started to learn about fitness, everything's about tracking. It's the same as prospecting, same as closing, same as building a multi-million dollar business. Tracking leads you to success, and it takes the emotion out of everything. Your tracking tells you where you need to improve. Your tracking tells you where you are improving. If you're not tracking, you go with your feelings, and feelings often lie, but numbers don't. Feelings lie, but facts don't. So you have to track, okay? How many people are you talking to on a daily basis to be able to grow your business and to get more customers? If you're talking to no people every day, you're going to have no growth. If you're talking to 10 people a week, you're going to have very slow growth. If you're talking to 10 people a day, you're going to have some kind of growth. Do you understand? So if you talk to a little bit of people, or you expose to a little bit of people, you have a little bit of growth. If you expose to a lot of people, you have the chance and the potential for a lot of growth. So then you break it down from your exposure down to the phone calls, if you're actually getting on the phone, or if it's through typing, right? It might be through email that you're doing the communicating, or it might be through private messaging and various different social media platforms. How many of those, how many contacts, communication one-to-one are you having? Or it's like one-to-many, like through email. How many of those are you doing? What are the numbers? How are your conversions from that? Like, what's the response from those people? And then you fine-tune what it is. If you're only getting one out of 10 people that you're communicating one-to-one with, or again, one-to-many, meaning you're the one typing the email, it goes out to many. If your conversions are really low, then you have to focus and work on how can I connect better with who's reading this?
So good.
Okay, how do I connect better? How do I customize it to who is actually reading this, right? Anyway, so you got to track your numbers. Same with your presentations. I used to do 8 presentations a week. In my early days, I did 8 presentations a week. That's a lot of presentations. With 10 to 20 people, prospects that I personally brought to these presentations. Okay, how and why? I wanted to grow a business. There's no small wonder that I made $250,000 my first year. I was getting more than 100 customers a month. Okay, 100 customers a month is a lot of customers. So those, especially at $50 a pop. So that was my bread and butter. Do the math. How much is that? $5,000. That was $5,000 just in my lower customer base part. From that customer base, then these referrals started kicking in. That's when I had to start going, okay, I'm meeting 10 people at a time. When it came time to finding help, recruiting better talent for my business, then it was about, I can't do all of this on my own. I can't manage all of this growth. I can't manage following up with all these people. So then I grabbed 45 of my customers. I invited them all in front of me, and I presented to them the opportunity to be able to work internally with me, they would end up with getting their product at a wholesale cost and be able to make a profit by building a customer base themselves. So now it wasn't just me handling the market, but now it was me recruiting other people to manage that market. I was duplicating my efforts. Okay, so presentations. How many of those a week are you doing? What's your target? What's your goal? If you don't have a number to go after, you'll go after what? Nothing. You'll go after nothing. And success is really simple. And I found that to be true with getting more fit. And I'm on a slow path of doing that on purpose. Right now I'm working on gaining weight, which is hilarious. It's a strange, strange thing to do. And fun. I'm making a butt. It's my current goal, is to make one of those. Thank you so much. I'm not going to repeat what she just said, but it's really funny. I love you, Brandy. Mm-hmm. But it's tracking. Everything is tracking. So what are you currently tracking? What are you currently tracking? I'm going to be right there with you, Miss Watson. I'm going to be there with you. You is my goal. I don't know if I'm going to get there, but I'll get close. Here, why don't we trade? Okay. What are you tracking? That which you're tracking is what you will succeed in. How many of you are not tracking anything? Okay. That which you're tracking is what you'll have success with. That which you're not tracking, you will not have success with. So you must track. You got to track how many you're exposing to. You got to track, again, so like right now, for example, there's a foundation called King's Ransom that's hiring for a high-level position, right? So right away, there was a few candidates that we had in our own list of resources that were possible candidates. But I said, I want 100 applications. Get us 100 applications to choose from in this. Why? You'll have lead deficit disorder, and you will beg people to be a part of your organization if you don't have a lot to choose from. And you don't want to beg anybody to join your organization, to join your mission, ever. You want people to qualify themselves to be a part of what it is that you're doing. So same with our marketing department. We've had several positions available there. I want 100 applications. Last year we had to hire for our accounting department. I want 100, if not more, applications. We had 200 applications for that one job before we picked that right person. Okay, so stay out of lead deficit disorder and begging people to be a part of your organization. Don't ever be in a place where you have to sell someone into your organization. You get to cherry pick. As long as you're doing the exposure part, you will always have plenty of people to choose from. Okay, so tracking how many of these. So you have to decide, how many contacts do I want to make every single week? By what number do I want to grow my list of resources? By what number do I want to grow my contacts so that I am a resource for other people in this community? How many presentations am I doing? People get started in business or they get a job and they never track any of these things. This whole afternoon has been about increasing your value into the marketplace, right? So here I gave you some ideas. You can increase the business that you're working for. Or you can increase the business that you own. Oh, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. If you don't break that down to numbers, you're not going to do anything and you'll not see any growth. So then you'll be the 98%er who leaves an event like this and says, I went to that seminar and I didn't increase my income. I'm going to sit down and ask you for 5 minutes, just a few simple questions, and you'll know real quick why you didn't increase your income. And it's as simple as, what steps did you take, and where's the proof? Success is simple. It's as simple as following directions. Okay? So I gave you 3 steps on the presentation. So the close. A close is asking questions. Really, really important to get good at closing and tracking those numbers. How often are you asking for the close? Now, how many of you are afraid to close? You're afraid to close deals. Okay, raise your hands. It's okay. Raise them high. Look around the room. You're not alone. I want you to look around the room because you're not alone. How many of you love to close deals? It's less than the first group of hands. Okay, I'm going to ask it again. How many of you don't like closing? You don't like asking for the close? It's the majority of the room. Who likes closing? Okay, that's awesome. Those of you who like closing, how many of you didn't in the beginning? You didn't like it in the beginning. Yeah, I hated it. I absolutely hated it in the beginning. I did not like that step at all. I wanted to pretend that step never existed. And guess what? I made no money.
I would hope that in my presentation, I just finish it. It's kind of, you throw up a pen and it stays floating. Just hope that someone comes and says, can I buy that? How many of you are waiting for people to come to you and say, can I buy that? Yeah, it doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. You have to bring people to a place of asking them the closing question. Now, the closing question is really simple. How many of you have a set close that you use? How many of you don't have a set close that you use? Let me give you one, if I can find my script book. Here it is. All right, so who has the script book? Let me ask another question. Who doesn't? Wow. Too bad. So sad. You're so far behind. So far behind. But Danny, I'm not in sales. Everybody is in sales. Everybody is in sales. Okay, well, it's on page 16. No, it's not. It's on page 22. So here's a simple close I've used for years. And simply, it works like this. What did you like about what you just saw? Well, that doesn't sound like a heavy, hard close now, does it? No. How many of you could say, what did you like about what you just saw? And how many of you could read? So you could actually read the question. What did you like about what you just saw? Number two is, tell me more about that. Number three, if you're selling a service where people can actually make more money, how much do you want to make? Little or a lot? What for? These are six simple questions, okay, that if some of your models fits this perfectly. But if I was selling cars or I was selling real estate, I would use that same script. What did you like about what you just saw with the home you just walked through? Tell me more about that. The person is selling themselves. They're telling you what their interests are. They're telling you what stood out to them. They're telling you what they like about what they just saw. So they're actually closing themselves. They're actually closing themselves. So as they tell you what it is that they liked, then your simple question to them is, so would you like to have more of what you like, or would you like to stay right where you're at? That's a simple close. Of course, they want what they like, and they don't want what they have. Does that make sense? So you're simply giving them the option to pick what they want, not what you want. So it makes it really simple to close. Okay? So that's just a little tip on closing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Number five is mobilize. We've also been talking about that. So mobilizing, referrals, this is how you get referrals. Okay, again, you get referrals through what? What do you get referrals from? Relationship. Referrals come from relationship, right? It's not just they like what you sold them. It's the relationship that comes with what you sold them. So relationship is what gives birth to referrals. Okay, number six is what I call duplication. My bracelet is annoying. Okay, duplication. Duplication is another way to grow your business. And that's also another word for duplication would be scalability. McDonald's was the first business model that when I was 19, that when my perspective had changed on the whole thing, was the example to me of like, wait a second. We're talking a multi-billion dollar business built on pimple-faced teenagers. This is powerful, right? That, what a powerful thing. And a whole business model based on pimple-faced teenagers. Multi-billion dollar worldwide business. That's pretty powerful. How? Duplication. Everything in their entire model is processed. There's a method to all of it. There are manuals that tell you what to do, when, what time, and how to do it. There's no guesswork as how it can. So it's completely scalable. It's not dependent on anybody's personality. It's completely dependent on systems. So a lot of people try to duplicate themselves as a person. You are not duplicatable. No human is duplicatable. No human is possible to duplicate.
Every single one of us have our own differences, our own uniquenesses. We have our own DNA. It's not possible to duplicate another. However, systems are duplicatable. You can duplicate systems. And when systems and processes are made really simple, that's when duplication can happen. It's when processes are really complicated. In fact, again, the director of King's Ransom just retired. And so this last week that she had, her entire week has been, actually the week before, was writing what we call SOPs, right? These are standard operating procedures, right? So she wrote out all the SOPs, and her replacement job this past week was to do them. And that's where you find where the holes are. That's where you find where, whoops, we forgot an instruction over here. So instructions are very simple. They're easy to follow. When they are not simple, they are not easy to follow, and that's where mistakes are made. So if there's a lot of mistakes made in your organization, it is simply because there's a process that has not been trained well, that has not been laid out and easy to follow. So that especially goes for those of you that are in a business where you're able to recruit people to sell your product and your services. You're recruiting independent sales reps. If your process is long, if your process is complicated, and it's not simple, simple to the tune that a seventh grader can do it, you'll not have good duplication. Also, if your business is dependent on personality, yours especially, your business is not duplicatable. You will hit a ceiling. Your income will come to a certain place and it'll just stop because the business is built on you versus on processes and systems that can actually duplicate. Last is leadership development. And this is what I was talking about earlier with recruiting better talent and developing it into leaders, developing people, giving people the opportunity to fail, giving people the opportunity to lead, and giving them the opportunity to fail. Same thing. Giving them a chance to think for themselves, giving people the opportunity to solve problems themselves, learning how to reach inside of somebody and create opportunity for them to where they can be. They can move themselves into learning at a totally different rate and a totally different level. So leadership development basically is what creates it so that where you can move out of your position, out of your business, and travel the world and have a good time on much less hours. All right, cool. All right, so I don't know if you got any help today or not, but we're done. All right, so Let me say this. We are going to be taking a dinner break right now. How many of you learned maybe two or three things that you can use to apply to your business or your family or your finances, okay? This morning I shared with you that I was going to show you this afternoon how to increase your income. Did I show you how to increase your income, right? Okay, so it's not just the product that you're selling, but it's what you bring with it, right? We talked about increasing your value. I told you four different areas to focus on to increase your value. And then we broke down all four of those areas even deeper. And then we brought it down to how do I actually do it? And I showed you with form and sign. How many of you saw some mistakes that you were making? Yes. And how many of you found some solutions on how to correct it? Okay. Awesome. So I'm really happy that you feel like you feel like you got some good out of today. I do have a confession to make. The information that I brought to you today hasn't been just from me, like I created it all by myself. It actually came from the best success book ever written that was written by the best author of all authors. And that is not my book, and I am not the author. The confession I have to make to you is that book was the Bible. Everything that I taught today, all the way down to everything I just explained about leadership development, giving people an opportunity to fail, raising up other leaders, all of that comes out of that book. That book has been my greatest teacher by far. I've learned everything that I could ever learn about wealth and creating it, also making financial big, huge mistakes. I learned in that book how to correct those mistakes. Marriage, about parenting, about myself, and even my health is actually in that book. Tonight, I'm actually going to open that book before you, and I'm going to challenge you to weigh your ego with your goal.
If I would have told you from the beginning I was teaching from the Bible, you might have had a different attitude about what I was teaching. So now that I already taught what I taught today and you saw value in it and you all raised your hands that, yes, I at least got three things out of today that are helpful and beneficial for my business, my finances, and my relationships, I promise you that tonight is probably going to be the most important thing that we talk about. Tonight we're going to be digging underneath fear. So many people are carrying fear today, and fear that comes in lots of different forms. And today I'm going to show you how to identify two main sources for fear and how to overcome them. Fear plays a big part in what you choose not to invest in. Fear plays a big part in which relationships you choose to get involved in and which relationships you choose not to. Fear plays a big part in whether or not you believe in yourself. It plays a big part in whether or not you will truly create a vision that is worth dedicating your life towards. Fear has everything to do with where you spend money and where you choose not to put and invest money. Fear has everything to do with where you choose to work and who you choose to work with or not work with. Fear is one of the greatest controlling spirits in our world today. It controls men and women of all ages, shapes, sizes, colors, creeds, races, and religion. Fear is going to take a hike when we're all done after tonight. One of the greatest deceitful things about fear is it might have you thinking you're not afraid of anything. But all you have to do is look at the fruit in your life and ask yourself the question, why am I not doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Why am I not going after what I could be going after? And what you will come up with is excuses. And the root of every excuse is a well-planned lie, which the root of that well-planned lie is fear. Because no one wants to admit that they're afraid. Nobody wants to admit that they're afraid. So we're going to get underneath it. We're going to identify it. We're going to identify two sources that actually come before fear ever comes into the playground. And you're going to be able to overcome it. So I am going to open that book today. And we're going to study one of the most successful people that have ever walked the planet. He's a king. A king for 3,000 years later, people are still talking about this particular king. A favored king, a king that was not only a politician, but a warrior, a singer and a songwriter on the side, a powerful, successful businessman that had a promise that was made to him that is still in effect today, has made history and is talked about all over the world. So when it comes to studying successful people, sometimes I like to study successful dead people. And we are going to be studying a very successful, very, 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 very dead person today. So we're going to start tonight at 7:00. We're going to be much more casually dressed. I'm going to be much more casually dressed. I encourage you to as well. Obviously, sweats are probably not appropriate for what we'll be doing tonight. We're also first going to kind of change it up. Tonight, we're going to be starting with something very, very different. So please come with the expectation. The seats that you have saved are not saved for tonight because tonight is open to the general public. So if you fast track to get in here, tonight is actually not a part of First Steps to Success. It is open to the general public, and it is an optional session for you. I encourage you to come. I also encourage you to bring the best success book ever written. If you don't have one, it's okay. Gideon left one for you in your room. You can just grab that one. You're not stealing. It is actually a gift for you. You could bring that one along with you. No one will be offended by that. But come with great expectation that if fear has you deceived into thinking you're not afraid, come and find out that it might be actually grabbing you by the throat, and I believe that there's going to be something significant that can shift inside of you tonight. So we're going to start at 7:00. I'm looking forward to seeing you. Thanks so much for your time tonight. God bless you.